Venter City Planning Board, April 25th, 2022.
The April 25th, 2022 meeting of the Venter City Planning Board is now in session. At this time, rise and salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the Board Administrator please call the roll?
Jay Cook?
Present.
Commissioner Langraff?
Here.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Robin Zady Hetch?
Here.
Tom Halpin is absent. Lorraine Salata?
Here.
Dan Smith III?
Here.
Mike Weason?
Here.
Peter Taco?
Here.
Tim Coob is absent. Greer Gaskell? Uh-huh. Absent. Don Siglin?
Here.
Wendy Bartlett?
Here.
You have quorum.
Okay. On the next item on the agenda this evening is that of adoption of minutes from the April 13th meeting. So are there any amendments or corrections to said minutes? Being none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
Make a motion.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. We have one resolution this evening from the last meeting, and that is P-17-2022 of Naaman, and that's 17 South Washington Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to that resolution? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for...
We'll make the motion.
For adoption. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The resolution is hereby adopted. This evening we have a very docket. There are two cancellations on applications that were originally on the published docket. Mr. Solicitor, could you elicit what they are and any guidance as far as when they would be heard?
Yes, the first application on the agenda, Anthony Murata, 16 South Wissahickon Avenue, is not going to be heard tonight. Mr. Callahan's the attorney. He's going to re-notice, so if you're here for that, you'll get a new notice in the mail for a new date. It will either most likely be May 11th or May 23rd, but you'll get the new notice for that in the mail, and the applicant, so we'll re-notice that. And then the fifth item on the agenda, Lynn Bragg, 8 North Cambridge Avenue. They have notice for that, but that is going to be rescheduled to May 11th, 2022, 6:30 p.m. in this room. The applicant will not be required to renotice or republish. This is your formal announcement then. So if you're here for that, we'll see you May 11th. Obviously, you're welcome to stay. Tonight, we're going to have four applications. The Siegel application, 24 South Hillside, Nashville Beach, 114 South Nashville Avenue, Timothy Bradley, 5904 Boardwalk, and Ocean PNC, LLC, 8 South Melbourne Avenue. So those are the four that we're going to hear tonight.
Okay. The first application that we're going to this evening is Abby and Ariel Siegel at 24 South Hillside Avenue. Better set up a different area inside here so the board can see it and people out there can see it. There's nobody out there.
The board's in
front. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Cambridge.
Do you want to do a preamble on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Goldstein, what we do is have everyone sworn.
Absolutely.
And then, once that's done, Roger is going to do a preamble, and then you will continue right on through with your application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be having Mr. Obelenis, the architect, speak, and Ms. Siegel here on the behalf of the project as the owner will also give some flavor to the application, maybe.
Perfect.
Probably have both of them sworn in.
Perfect.
Okay, Mr. Obelenis and Mr. and Mrs. Siegel, if you can just each go down the line, state your name and address, or whoever might testify, just state your name and address, and I'll get you sworn in together.
Abby Siegel, 24 South Hillside, Ventnor.
Okay, John?
John Obelenis, 102 South A Street, Vineland.
Okay, if you can each please raise your right hand, each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Great, thank you.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Obelenis is a licensed architect, and he's appeared before this board many times, his credentials are acceptable. And at this time, could we also swear in?
Sure. Mr. McLaren, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start out with the application this evening, and Mr. McLaren, our engineer, is going to give a preamble, and then we'll go about his report, and then we will go in, and throughout the application, we'll continue after that. Please start, Roger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. The application is of Abby and Ariel Siegel, 24 South Hillside Avenue, Block 52, Lot 1, located in Ventnor, New Jersey. Engineering and planning report seeking C variances located in the R7 Single Family Zoning District. Deemed complete, substantial benefit variance, and possibly a hardship could be attached to this somewhat because of the narrowness in the shape of the lot on a very narrow block. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1, continued on top of page 2. The project description is as follows. The proposal is to construct a new flood-compliant single-family dwelling at the northwestern corner of Hillside Avenue and Atlantic Avenue. Due to the configuration of the lot, the parking is proposed to come from Hillside Avenue rather than Atlantic Avenue, which is the shorter side but is deeper, and actually it's preferred location of the driveways. In order to provide the proper off-street parking there in front of the garage cannot be counted as a space. Several variances are requested for this proposal as indicated below. The zoning chart is on the bottom of page 2, continued on top of page 3. The applicant identified two variances. I was able to eliminate the one because no parking is proposed in the driveway, so it doesn't count, it has to have a specific length to count for the parking space. Since all the parking is provided in the garages, that is no longer a variance. So the only variance that they are seeking is the front yard setback to the principal structure, whereas 12 feet is required, 8.5 feet is proposed. Couple comments are that the front yard setback is due to the relative narrowness of the lot compared to the depth. The front yard decks and porches meet the permitted encroachments and inversely the setbacks. The driveway depth I just discussed. The other important comment that I have is that somehow that those driveways I would recommend be pushed further away from Atlantic Avenue, just backing in and out, further away from the intersection is a safer bet. They do meet the ordinance requirements, but I just think that's a busy corner, further away might be safer. And also, I'm presuming that all other landscape requirements will be met.
Yes.
This confirmation of that will be under oath and under testimony. Other than that, no further comment on this application.
Okay, are you in agreement with the...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we are.
Okay, thank you. Please continue with your application.
Eric Goldstein, on behalf of the applicant, with me tonight, Mr. Obelenis and Mr. and Mrs. Siegel. One thing I want to point out that we also find to be very important from Roger's report is when we talk about new homes being built, and sometimes they tend to want to max out the property. In this case, we're significantly under on both building coverage and lot coverage. Siegels were fairly careful in designing this house with John, that they wanted to build, of course, a new house, but they wanted to be as considerate as possible to not just put as much house over the lot as they legally could. So we are significantly under, which we don't see too often, for both lot and building coverage. Having said that, Mr. Obelenis has been sworn in. We're seeking a 3.5-foot variance only for the Hillside Avenue setback of the building. So John, walk us through the house you designed, if you understand what you're
focusing on that variance only, but the board might want to hear from everyone else who knows.
Thank you. So we saw that, again, the lot there is there as it was, and we looked at parking, of course, how to get into the house, our house, onto Hillside. Had we followed the setbacks, there wouldn't be room to park a car inside. The house would have been too narrow by the time you subtracted the wall thicknesses, everything else that had to do with the construction of the house. So we made it large enough that you can park perpendicular to the garage, and from that point on, we carry the plan up to the third floor. So it's basically a ground floor parking and storage and a little bit of a veranda that's open to the air. First floor is living, again, kitchen, dining, all the facilities for living. Bedrooms are on a second floor and the third floor. There are decks. My clients, again, the house that they have now has a lovely front deck on Atlantic Avenue. And they like the action, they like the traffic, they like the views toward the beach, and we wanted to maintain that nice, very large deck off the living space on the first floor and then carry that to the second floor deck to the bedrooms. And we do have an inset deck, again, per code on that third floor bedroom itself. So basically, that's the house, 2.5 stories with parking below.
Consideration of the New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law and the City of Denver zoning ordinance. Based on the design with the setback that is slight with the variance to the house on Hillside, do you see any detriment that could possibly be associated with this house if the board were to approve it as designed?
I do not.
And to the extent there possibly could be a detriment, would you say that the benefit of what we're getting here greatly outweighs any such detriment?
Setback.
I believe so. The amount is at the site, you know, the house being not maxed out, that we offer a lot of landscaping at the ground level with the veranda, open areas, all at the ground level. I think it's a plus.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Robolanis obviously is going to stick around and be able to answer questions, but I think it's important. The applicant just wants to say a few words about her desire to move into this house full time for plan on using it. Explaining to the board why you want to do this project, what we have in store, and how you and your husband and your family are going to better the city of Denver when you guys move in.
Okay. Well, we're very excited to build our dream home and move down here full time and year round and just enjoy the shore and our new beautiful home. So that's it. We're excited about the project. Yeah, we have three kids, exactly, and we're going to be empty nesters, and our kids are going to be, our youngest is going away to college, and we decided we want to move down here year-round and just enjoy being here.
Having a place at the beach might get the kids to keep coming back, huh?
I hope so. I think they'll be here even more. So, yeah, they're excited about it, too, and we love Ventnor, so we would love to be here year-round, and the way the house is now, we wouldn't be able to do that. So, yeah, we're happy about the project.
Thank you.
Abby, did I hear you have a house? You live here now with a home on Atlantic Avenue?
24 South Hillside is not our primary residence.
But
yeah.
Not your primary residence, but you're living in that area right now?
Yes, okay. That's our house.
And, so yeah. you want to stay?
Yeah, we enjoy it during the summer and on weekends when we can get down here, but we want to move down here year-round.
You must have been drinking a lot of Ventnor water because you want
to. Yeah. Yeah, we love
that. Thank you for being a stockholder, by the way.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
So we concur with Roger's report in its entirety. Mr. Obelenis, we believe, has established the positive criteria with regard to the setback, which is just the one setback, of course, and we would rest subject to being able to recall a witness to the extent someone from the board or a member of the public might have a question.
Okay.
So what is the existing setback on Hillside?
See, that's what I was going to ask. Same thing.
John?
I don't have a survey with me.
I might have.
But it looks like the house is further out, further closer to the street than what you're even proposing.
I think it's less.
Right.
And it's all in... What's there now is in line with the rest of Hillside. So this is coming back a couple of feet. Not a lot, but
and you're improving the situation.
Do we know what that setback is, Eric?
I will find out. It's around 6 feet.
Wow, well, he's looking for that. And Roger, you asked if they could move that driveway back. Doesn't that affect the garage, though?
It does, but if they just, yeah.
Because the stairways in between the garage and...
Right, but they have storage area if you push that up a little bit, but...
I don't disagree with you.
John, I still think you're okay, but just to be safe.
John, is there any chance that you can move the cars to the back to the rear line a little bit, or is there no room in your plan?
So we learned, so for the nearest part of the driveway to Atlantic Avenue, and that's the number to that curb, is 32 feet. From the closest part of the driveway.
Right. Okay. You want to back further?
It's possible. I'm looking at the floor plans, and that'll mess up the second and third floor.
Yeah, I think that's what I was looking at. That kind of messes up the big tone.
I think that request is going to mess your plan up. The question of how much you can get, that's what it comes down to. Not worth it.
Age has unfortunately made the eyes a little less accurate. The distance on the survey says it's 6.03, so it will be an improvement. And John, maybe you can tell.
You're a cheater.
I hit it to the older guy.
I did an approximate measurement of 6 feet.
Okay, 6 feet I would say is accurate. It's 6.0. Right. Looks like 6.0 right. Or 6.03. So it'll be now 8.5, an increased distance from hillside of 2.5 feet.
And that whole block further down, 6 even further out.
So you're correct, Mr. McLaughlin. It would be an improvement to the existing conditions once it's down and the new house is up.
You're saying in your application that the new house is going to be roughly 2 to 2.5 feet further back.
That's pretty good.
Than the existing house.
I read the survey at one point on the magnifying glass.
Okay. Yeah. Or 2 feet. Maybe. One or the other. Is that correct?
That is.
Okay. Do you have anything further to add?
We don't, subject to a member of the public or a member of the board asking a question.
Well, why don't we go to the public and see what they have to say? Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application at the present time? Parking pickets are thin here. Hearing none, seeing no request, we'll ask one more time. Does anyone want to make any comment on this application? Evidently not. The public portion of this application is now closed.
I'm sorry.
At this time, if you have any further comments you wish to make, or if you're complete,
No, we're complete. I think the Siegels and Abby spoke, kind of from the heart as to what they want to do.
Okay.
John designed a house to try to minimize, to try not to make it as big as could possibly be, and we think that it'll be a nice addition once it's finally down and then built back up.
Board members, any questions? Not? Roger, do you have anything last comments?
Just looking at this photo from Google Earth or the Street View, it looks like the stop sign is too far away from the stop bar. I'll reach out to the city engineer, have Public Works relocate it to comply with the law. And the reason for that is you're not supposed to park within 25 feet of the stop sign.
It'd be better for the Siegels to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So just to keep it kosher for everybody.
Sure. Thanks.
We'll make that recommendation.
Okay. At this time, Leo, could you charge the board with a resolution for a vote, please?
Yep, it's just the one C variance, so someone has to make a motion to grant a C variance for the front yard setback along Hillside Avenue of 8.5 feet, where 12 feet is required.
May I have a motion and a second, please?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Will our board administrator please call the roll and state your reasons for your vote?
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of this application. This is obviously an improvement to the neighborhood, and it's an improvement to the city's overall plan and zone plan, and It's also removing an obsolete property and replacing it with a new property, which is definitely rejuvenating our housing stock in the city itself. The master plan is being filled. In addition to that, I believe this is also in the commercial redevelopment plan. Is that correct? In this section, this section is also in there?
No.
Don't believe so, no.
Not in there? Okay. Well, then maybe I will eliminate that from my thing, just say, it's a great plan. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Commissioner Langraff?
I also support the application. I think it's a de minimis request. It's improving the setback that's there now. We get a new home. While we don't like losing all of our old homes on the island, we do like to keep some of the old ones around. This home, while it's been your summer place, doesn't fit your needs anymore. You need a little bit more space. Trust me, the kids will come home. Beach house, they'll come. They'll bring friends, too, so make sure you got plenty of beds. If I vote yes on the application, I don't see any detriment to the neighborhood. It's a better situation than what's there now.
Commissioner Crable?
Yeah, I agree with everything that's been said. I support the application. One negative is an easy trade to make for a building and a lot coverage being under. But as I think everyone else has said, that you have the design shows a porch facing Atlantic Avenue, which I think is attractive, and the facade facing Atlantic City is attractive. I think those will act as advertisements for them in a way, with the curb appeal that you created here. I support the application.
Reverend Zabby Hatch?
I also will vote yes on the application. This will be an improvement for the area. It's going to be flood compliant, so that helps the city with federal flood insurance coverage, and aesthetically very pleasing structure. So yes.
Mike Gleason?
I've noticed that house many times because I'm around that neighborhood a lot, and it was always well maintained, and it's a shame it's being torn down, but it's a good trade-off for what we get. And I can only imagine how nice you're going to take care of the new house. I'll be in favor.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote in favor of it. I appreciate the fact that the house was designed for the lot that they were working with, the exception of the driveway, which really makes a lot better sense than having it on Atlantic Avenue, and the fact that the house is sitting back further is an added plus. And, you know, we like new stock in the city, so good luck.
Peter Taco?
I will also vote in favor of the application for obviously all the reasons stated. The variance relief is minimal, actually an improvement on what is existing, and I think it will be an asset for the neighborhood.
You are complete.
You are approved.
Thank you.
And
thank you all.
Congratulations. And welcome back.
Yeah.
Not that you left, but Paul Lance's advice, he knows about it. So, the next application is Nashville Beach LLC.
Yeah, baby, we're moving.
<laughs> 114 South Nashville Avenue.
No, not for this one.
Nope.
Oh, beach. Oh, what's
this? This is a
Goldstein.
Go first. Terrific. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, we're going to get set up here, but prior to Mr. Petrella getting his boards up, I just wanted to make a couple points about this application, one of which I think was either Commissioner Langraff or Mr. Wiesen or Commissioner Crable brought up. This property initially, when it was purchased, which was just purchased quite recently, was the subject of some debate as to whether or not it should be torn down and whether or not the lot was big enough to try to squeeze two houses there. And ultimately, the owner of the property, Nashville Beach, is owned by Mr. Pat Dion and his wife, Carlene. They said, you know, this is a beautiful house. We want to keep it up. We don't want to change the character of the street. They did have the need for one additional means of ingress and egress. So the goal here was to try to make it as easy as possible for the Dions, who are perhaps getting up there in age just a bit, and they also like to spend a lot of time outdoors, to go up and down without having to keep going back in and out of the house. They're also fairly involved with their dogs, and the dogs do spend a lot of time in that area, and they can go up and down on the staircase. So the goal was to be able to also have dogs go in and out. But we think that the design that SOSH put together through Mr. Petrella provides a good means of ingress and egress, which is also very beneficial from an emergency personnel standpoint. It's kind of hidden and tucked into an area that's very difficult to see from both the street or the boardwalk. And I'm going to let Mark get into the details of the design of the spiral staircase. But it's really just a way to accommodate property owner who wants to keep this older home, wants to keep the history of the house, and not just put up a couple new cookie cutters. And you may recall also, I think this is fairly important, Mr. Dion did have a previous house he owned over on Washington Avenue and ended up moving here because this opportunity came up, but had fixed that up after we went to some variances to make that house beautiful. Not that it wasn't before, but it even made it nicer than it was initially. And he's a vested stakeholder on the street. He's a guy who's going to follow through on the construction right away. And it's really a fairly simple job, if the board approves it, to put the external staircase there. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Petrella.
You have to do swear-in first.
I was thinking about that as well. Yes.
So we'll swear in Mr. Petrella first.
Sure. Mr. Petrella, just state your name and address for the record, please.
Hi, Mark Petrella, principal with SOSH Architects. Office address is 1020 Atlantic Avenue, Atlantic City.
Okay, and do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Petrella, are you a licensed engineer or an architect?
Licensed architect? Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Mark and I cut our teeth together at design lab.
So okay, then.
We both worked with Mr. Years Carter.
Ago. Okay, then your goal.
So we just, even though we did the preamble to the report, we've obviously read and we discussed it with the client. We concur with everything that Roger put down. I think it's accurate. We are seeking that the building setback, even though it's an external staircase. We had discussed this with Mr. Agostino early on. He said the external staircase has to meet the principal building setbacks, which it does not, which we understand. So Mark's going to walk us through the design of what we're proposing. And then I also want to note that a very nice gentleman who lives directly next door on Nashville had contacted my office. He asked some questions about these projects. Said he wouldn't be coming out tonight, but he was in favor of it. I'm not speaking for him, just letting you know that he was a real nice guy to speak with and said, good luck, but now he said he could before the board. So, I know the board doesn't give out a whole lot of weight, but I think it's important to note that neighbors are paying attention to the fact that perhaps they're not here as much as they should be. We don't know if the neighbors are not, but he won't be here, but he was a nice guy to speak with on the phone. So, having said that, Mark, why don't you walk us through the design, how the staircase looks from the edge of the floor up to the second level deck, minimal interference.
Before I touch on the details of the project, just wanted to inform you of one important thing tonight. I'm accompanied by my colleague, Jeffrey Thomas, who has just become a licensed architect in New Jersey. So he worked on this project as well as many others in the office. So he's here with us tonight.
Congratulations.
Eric did a great job explaining the parameters of the project. So really what's left is that wasn't discussed are the kind of small details of the project. So it is an open circular stair. It's a metal stair in the side or the rear setback. It's about 6 foot 4 inches in diameter. And you can see referencing sheet A000, which was submitted to the packet. You can see on the site plan that it's tucked in the rear yard, not projecting closer to the beach than the existing residence.
but in the rear yard. And it is an open stair structure, so there's no closed risers, open metal frame, non-combustible construction. So it really doesn't impact any open air and light issues as far as neighbors are concerned.
Interrupt for 1 second. When you say rear yard, are you meaning beachfront?
No.
Or are you
side, side.
Yeah, it's the side. It's there.
Pardon me?
It's technically a rear yard. Mm-hmm. Yes, but it is.
It is opposite the street, National Avenue.
Okay. It's opposite the street.
Yes.
Okay.
Adjacent to the neighbors, the beachfront neighbor.
Okay. Okay.
So as Eric had mentioned, the purpose of the stair is to provide the connectivity from the newly expanded renovated second floor deck to the lower patio, which is under construction, but it also provides a second means of ingress and egress for the homeowners, not only the homeowners, but becomes a much safer condition for them as well as emergency personnel.
One of the things, Mr. Chairman, that Mr. and Mrs. Dion tasked SOSH with doing was to try to make it so it wouldn't have any impact on being opaque in any way. It's relatively see-through, as Mark testified. When you're standing next to it, front and side, you can see through it. It's an open spiral staircase. There won't be any enclosed tube that some of the low-bottom spiral staircases have now. It'll just be what you normally think of as a metal spiral staircase, about 6 inches in diameter.
6 feet, 4 inches diameter, yes.
Please continue.
Oh, any other questions?
Mark, just so we can satisfy the requirements of the NOUL, do you see any negative that could possibly be associated with this if the board saw fit to grant the application and allow the spiral staircase to get there?
No, I don't. I see that there's no impact to open air and light of any neighbors. I only see that this would be a positive to the overall development of the property.
And to the extent that someone considered this to be a negative in any way, the positive to be discussed, first, the keeping of a fairly beautiful home and keeping one house instead of two, along with the open staircase and everything else with regard to ingress and egress for emergency personnel, that greatly outweigh any possible negative associated.
Yes, I certainly believe that. As stated, I don't see any real negative impact here. I think that the violation into the setback is de minimis amount, and feel that the positive greatly outweigh any negative.
What is the violation into the setback?
Well, we're asking for a setback of 3.5 feet.
10
inches wide, so 6.5 feet
in to the setback. Yeah, just for clarification, Roger, maybe on their plans it says the setback for the rear is 15 feet, and then on your report it says 10 feet.
Yeah, I the R9 indicates rear yards are 9 or 10 feet.
Say that again, up there.
The ordinance indicates that rear yard setbacks in the R9 zone are 10 feet.
10 feet.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
I didn't copy that what the setback was for this for the spiral staircase.
It's 3.46 feet.
And what's required is 6.
10. It's 10.
Okay. So that's 6.5 feet we're short.
Yes.
Okay.
As an open structure, not right. An enclosed structure.
Right.
Well, being a spiral staircase, it varies, but as I mentioned, the overall diameter of the stair is about 6 feet 4 inches, so it's wider than a normal spiral stair. Yes, yes.
So, have you explored, and hopefully you have, other areas where you could put this staircase? Because, you know, you're only, like, giving us 3.5 feet for a setback. So where else could you put it?
I don't know why this.
Yeah.
It's still here.
shouldn't put that in there.
There's no noise.
There's no reason why you can't put a pocket in here and put it there.
I don't know if you've seen this, but referencing drawing A-100, which shows the individual plans for the work. Drawing first floor plan shows where the stairs are located in relation to the existing wall of the house. And there are large windows along that wall. So really, we didn't think it would be best to put it in front of the window because we're trying to make the neighborhood look
good. Right. Well, I noticed that, because I live in that general area, that they've been doing a lot of construction on the house. They've added that deck up there. And so, you know, I'm curious, was that given consideration to possibly have the staircase more tucked in so that you wouldn't have to, you know, have such a small setback?
It really had to do with what I mentioned, the size of the windows and doors along that side.
Mm-hmm. But they're all new, right?
Aren't they up on the second floor also?
There are equipment on the second floor, though. Really, the stair that we have at the second floor is really the first floor view.
What is the function of that lower level space?
It's a really covered patio that has optical screens at the perimeter. It was called the new outdoor fireplace, so it's an extension of their living area.
So, are there other back doors to the property?
It's pretty close to the side yard.
Ron, can I ask a question while we're looking at some? Ron, I have a question for you.
Setback to the boardwalk. Boardwalk property. It's required to be 12 and they're at 25?
I don't think it's 25.
It says proposed 25 feet.
Maybe the property line. If I'm looking at the boardwalk, they're probably... Yeah, it might be about 25 feet to see, right?
15 feet scales for the front yard setback along National Avenue. If you scale that, you're...
What I'm thinking is if they pull it to that front corner.
That's what I was thinking.
Not front corner, but the back corner of the deck.
Oh, inset in the deck.
Yeah.
I always look at the same spot.
No, oh my God.
Then it doesn't affect their views after the beach.
Okay, so cut a hole in the one corner.
Yeah.
The door offside, operate it.
Right. Just facing away from the window. Right, near the window.
Yes, just like
here. Got here.
Inside the deck.
Yeah, inside the deck. That's a much better spot. Right in here. Right? Roger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. That's. Well, I'll say front left corner.
Yeah, front left corner. That I was looking at that. I don't know if I walk up there.
I don't even. Could it go outside the deck there?
Mr. Landgraf, are you referring to the corner?
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So either my original thought was not cut a hole in the deck, just put it on that outside corner. Because if you've got 25 feet to the boardwalk. You don't need a variance to put it there, right?
You mean wrap it around the front side?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Just on that corner, does that need relief, Roger? I mean, that may impact the neighbor more. I think back where it's being tucked now,
put it out here,
does not cause a problem for that neighbor. Probably because his, if you look at, I was, you know, I remember this house from the orange sofas out on the front lawn. That's how I remember this house. But the neighbor to that side, you know, his deck is out in front of this. So that stairway where they're proposing it doesn't affect that neighbor.
And he's looking at the beach.
Right. If he puts it where I'm talking about putting it,
they would still need relief because of the ordinance change we made. No decks or structures higher than 3 feet above the existing boardwalk. Deck shall be permitted within 15-foot setback to the seawall or bulkhead.
How far are they?
15 feet. To the bulkhead?
They're about 12 feet.
12 feet to the bulkhead.
Yeah, it's 12 feet to the seawall. And that, again, that's going to impact that neighbor.
Yeah.
I was trying to look for an easy solution, and I just caused more problems.
We're looking at 12 feet rather than 3 feet, or closer. So that takes it away from the side.
So it wouldn't... It would, but it's going to put it right in his line of sight.
And that's supposed to be a clear area.
Right.
And he doesn't seem that upset about where it's proposed.
Right. Because I'm looking at the aerial, his deck mostly is in front of this. This will be tucked right, kind of where the existing deck is now on this house. And right in there. It's going to look like a fire pole out in front of it.
They have these Palm Beach mechanical shutters going inside of those columns up and down. That would obstruct those as well.
All right, you got to say that in English. No one else here knows what that means.
Expensive gadgets.
Right.
Recessed into the columns mechanically, roll-up shutters, I call them. And they're mechanically elevated in and out of those columns to the house, so the first floor is protected in hurricane.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that... So this will complicate that as well.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
You know, and
yeah, I'm trying to understand where you're suggesting. You're suggesting out in front of the deck.
My first thought
was
out in front of this deck, the proposed deck, on that in that grassed area between it and the bulkhead. But it does create another variance because you can't have a structure like right there. Yes. But that would be negatively impact the neighbor.
Yeah, we thought that the proposed location is best because it's tucked back. You don't see it until you're looking directly at it from the beach area.
That's what I'm thinking now that I reconsider that.
Can that be tucked into the deck board to give you more than 3.5 feet?
Yeah, it goes in front of the windows there, and that
goes in front of the glass,
and that closure that you just talked about that Tim gave a good explanation of.
So it interferes with the closure and the glass.
And the glass.
Okay.
Same conversation.
Well, the testimony has been that
it's
see-through, so why wouldn't it be an issue in front of the glass? Okay. If it's not an issue for the neighbor, then why would it be an issue for the homeowner?
Okay.
There.
And Eric, the intent of this is so you don't have to travel through the house to get up and down.
Correct.
Sandy feet and all that stuff.
We're just trying to figure out what the and top of it and of course the see-through for us with the neighbor, which is correct. But where if we put it over forward a little bit, I guess we're cutting into the deck. It's not coming in and having an entrance. It's almost coming straight up through the bottom of it, although not directly. Almost like a half circle would have to be cut into the deck.
Like a little...
Like a notched out to have the staircase come up.
It'd be a square, yeah. You'd cut a square hole in the deck to come up into that area.
It seems like we might be able to move it in
a foot and then kind of cut something out of the deck to have it sit flush or flusher with the deck in a little bit of a semicircle. Moving it in a foot would be ideal, but if something that would, get us the approval, then the applicant's reasonable. We don't want to stand on ceremony and say no. But I think that's about as good as we're going to get moving it over. Otherwise, it does take away from the railing end of the deck. I'm not sure it's necessarily safe to do it that way, but we can put up another railing.
But it gives you more egress on the ground level.
Mr. Chairman?
It gives you 48 inches a minimum to walk by rather than 3 feet on an outside deck. You have bigger stuff on porches. I've always found that 48 inches is a much better than 36.
What's along that back wall of the house?
I think we can make that work. But Mr. Chairman said to have it 48 inches from the property line. We'll figure out a way to make that work.
Well, you need a little more than 48 to get 48. So 3 foot, 4 foot, five gives you 40. We'll give you 48 net when you're done building it.
Instead of 3 foot. So then we would amend that the setback wouldn't be 3.46 feet, it would be 4.5.
Yeah. Okay. And that would give you plenty of extra space to...
In the same location as it is now, just pushing it in.
Everything you need.
Okay, yeah. So we would amend so that the resolution, if the board saw fit to grant it, would be a variance for the side...
4.5.
Instead of 3.46 as proposed, 4.5 feet as amended, and we'll figure out a way to make it work either with a smaller staircase or with an indent into the house, which we can make it work.
Yeah.
Everything else will be the same. Still be open, still be, everything is exactly the same, just pushing it over just a little more than a foot. So, the 1.04 feet.
And you entered in your...
No.
All right. You have anything more you want to add?
No, I think that's good. That's
if this, now I'd like to enter in Roger's report to the application.
Sure.
If you could enter your report, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Everything that was said is in my report. The report is based on the application of Nashville Beach LLC, 114 South Nashville Avenue, Block 7, Lot 10.01. C variances in the, located in the R9 Single Family Zoning District. substantial benefit variance, materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1. Project description as described by the applicant. Proposed to construct a circular staircase within the rear yard setback, which creates a variance. Prior approvals were granted. I do have a question. When were prior approvals granted that were noted on the plans? Probably a while ago, correct?
Did you do it for Dr. Jared? We knew it was Dr. Jared's house, and he came and had it approved, but it would have been many years ago.
Okay.
Don't know when we were involved.
I think during the zoning, as opposed to planning.
Yeah. When they had two boards?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Fair enough.
The house was on fire.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That's the one that is that the one the fireplace burned?
Yeah.
The fireplace burned.
It's made of wood?
No. Okay. Please continue.
On me. The variances are a rear yard setback to the building, the steps, whereas 10 feet is a required minimum setback, and 3.46 feet is proposed. However, that's going to be amended to 4.5 feet by inserting the stairwell into the deck. Comments are standard as before. Again, the setback of relief of 10 feet, or requirement of 10 feet, and you're seeking 4.5 feet, as amended tonight. That concludes my report.
Okay.
I do want to say one additional thing. Since we amended the ordinance for the R9 and all beachfront properties, this is a corner property, so you have two fronts, a side and a rear. So, just for the sake of argument, if that rear was considered a side, the setback requirement is 5 feet. But it's, you know, we're all calling it a rear, so we should look at it as a rear. But if that spiral staircase is on the other side, it would meet the 5 foot.
Okay. Four and a half.
Four and a half.
Four and a half.
Four and a half. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Goldstein, do you agree with the report?
Just looked at my plan. Yes, we do. So we're ready to go as amended. We're going to concur with Roger's report, and then the change, of course, being 4.5 feet from the line, and we would rest as submitted.
Would you be prepared to open up to the public now?
Of course, you are.
Yeah. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Seeing no comment or anybody responding at all to it, the public portion is now closed. Do you have any further comments to you or your architect
in
completion of this thing?
We do not, Mr. Chairman.
Board members, questions, comments? Roger?
I'm good. I think they explained their reasoning well.
Leo, could you please frame a resolution for a vote, please?
Yes. It's a C variance motion for one C variance for the rear yard setback to the new proposed staircase of 4.5 feet, where 10 feet's required. So we need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, I'm sorry. May I have a second, please?
Second.
I'll One of us is going to second.
Okay, one of you second. Okay, now we'll have the roll call vote. I was a little premature.
Jay Cook?
I will vote yes on this application. They made an amendment to their application that made it worthwhile to be clear on the deck on the side. It's de minimis. It works best for the neighbors itself within the zone plan. It really looks like it belongs in the building itself, so it doesn't look like it's even being added to it. So with that, it has very little effect on our master plan or our zone plan and enhances the structure, so I vote yes.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I also support the application. I appreciate the effort to pull it back a little bit from the property line. I thought originally it would be better pulled forward, but that would have negatively affected the neighbor, I think. And with he already looking at this plan and being okay with it, if it doesn't cause him any problems, it doesn't cause me a problem. No public objected to the application, so I don't see any detriment. I vote yes.
Commissioner Crable?
I vote yes as well. I appreciate the adjustments that you've made. It's already a very complicated design for a small space, but I think aesthetically it fits the house well. It's safe for the back deck.
Robin Zabihatch?
I also vote yes on the application. I think the spiral staircase will add a nice aesthetic touch to the building, so yes.
Mike Leeson?
I appreciate the applicant listening to us because they spent all the time doing this work, and to listen to just things thrown out there when they're, you know, hammering away in the office doing this, it's nice that you just didn't blow us off. I think the ideas that we bring up triggers other ideas, and it's appreciated. It looks like it's going to be fits right into the house perfectly, like it belonged there right from the beginning, and I vote in favor.
Lorraine Salata?
The house looks lovely. I've been watching them do the work on it, and I totally understand why they would want an outdoor staircase there. So I appreciate the fact that they worked with the board and moved it in a little bit. Makes me feel better about it. I do appreciate it.
Peter Tacco?
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I appreciate the applicant's willingness to compromise a bit on it. I do believe aesthetically that's the best place for it. I was a little concerned about the access around the back of the house, but that has been worked out. So I'll vote in favor of it.
You are complete.
Thank you all very much.
Congratulations. Thank you very much. You're approved.
Good seeing you, Mark.
Mark, it's a pleasure meeting you. And to your architectural student, congratulations. You did a feat there. Next application is that of 5904 Boardwalk. And that's Mr. Braden. Are you camping here tonight, Mr. Goldstein?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman?
Camping here tonight.
What's that?
Camping here tonight?
I'm going to go down to the commissioner's office where it's okay. Very plush.
I wasn't sure if you were going to Kyle.
You might be thinking of the mayor's office.
That carpet up here is nice enough.
They didn't get that pay raise yet.
What's that?
We can close that off and make that a little room for you. It's bulletproof.
But there's TV.
It's bulletproof.
Looks like it was an amp. You can do a preamble.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Now, we're going to do a preamble.
Right.
Do you have anybody to be sworn in?
Just make it bigger.
Eric, do you have anybody to be sworn in besides Mr.
Oberlein? It's going
to
be Mr. Barnhart and Mr. Oberlein.
Okay, can you stand them up, please?
No, that's not good.
Yeah. Okay.
You're ready to swear.
Is John and John, just each state your name and address for the record, I swear, both being together.
John Obeletis, we're going to be sworn again. Is he actually sworn again?
That's the new application, yeah.
New application.
They have a little more deck on there.
State your name and address.
John Obeletis, 102 South 8th Street, Maryland.
John, you too.
John Barnhart, office address 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
Thanks. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
John, are you a planner as well?
I'm a licensed professional planner, licensed professional engineer, and a certified municipal engineer in the state of New Jersey.
Let the record reflect that John is an engineer and a planner, and we have an architect. Their credentials are acceptable, and please proceed. Okay.
Bless you.
Okay, we're going to have Roger McLaren go first. Roger's going to do a preamble and then go. Roger, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This report was originally written August 17, 2021, probably a casualty of the COVID issues. Been revised April 23rd, just to reflect the new material presented. And in regard to the application of Timothy Bradley, Block 18, Lot 1.01, 5904 Boardwalk, located within the R1 Single Family Zoning District, substantial benefit variance. in essence, they want to add a third floor deck that goes beyond the building envelope of the physical walls of the building. So the variance is the third floor deck being beyond the building envelope, and everything else has been approved and compliant. So that, keep it short and sweet, that's what it is. Mr. Goldstein.
Thank you, Mr. McLaren, Mr. Chairman. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicant, Timothy Bradley. This construction presents a little bit of an issue regarding the Bradley's use of their second floor deck. What we have is the second floor deck, based on the location of the property, could not have a physical roof over it, nor can the third floor deck. The purpose of the application is so the third floor deck actually acts as the roof for the second floor deck. And this isn't one we're trying to pull a fast one and have a third floor deck built, now, aha, we have this big third floor deck. The applicants are open to suggestion or conditions regarding the third floor deck, but really the goal here is that Mrs. Bradley is very sensitive to the sun. The second floor deck could not have a cover but for the third floor deck on top. It can't be roofed. We went around and around quite a bit, and again, spoke with Mr. Agnesino, who was very helpful, and we said, what can we do to get a deck there? And he said, really, you can't put a roof over the second floor, but perhaps a third floor deck over that could act as a sun shield. Mr. Obelenis, the house has already been approved, designed this just to go out over the existing and to enlarge the existing third floor deck. So John, if you don't mind, walk us through the design of the property, the fact that it's already under construction, and what's there now is being approved, but we're attempting to have that area that the board can see, which we're calling the third floor deck, really act as a roof so that the second floor deck is safe and added aside.
So basically, it's, what is a deck, not a deck? And we're going to go back and forth with Mr. Agnesino. Meets all the setbacks for the building and protects CAFRA. I think John Barber can address the CAFRA issues. They don't have to put a roof over the deck, but you can have a deck over decks over deck. It doesn't matter how many decks you can have. And in the second floor, which is just sort of the middle of the building, that's your living. It's a living, dining room, kitchen, all access to the outside, to the ocean, obviously. And this house was built kind of on the same lines as the house next to us. If you're facing from the beach, the house to the right, same setbacks, same decks, deck setbacks, etc. And my client wanted to be part of that club, in a sense. He wanted to use the ocean. None of the house is built, and we talked about the owner's wife having a sensitivity to the sun. You walk out in that second floor deck off the living room, and it's sun facing on the beach. So she didn't know that was the plan. So we're here tonight, hopefully allow us to have that kind of coverage. Now, that would use a third floor deck for the master bedroom. Master bedroom being on the top, facing the ocean, they can walk out, it's accessible from the master bedroom only. There are no other rooms in the court. So it would, in essence, extend from one end to the other end and out to the allowable area for the distance of the setback for this third floor deck. So it's kind of a supersized third floor deck, again, only accessible to the master bedroom tenants, and allowing for shade, shadow, inclement weather for that second floor living area.
And John, what's on the second floor living area? Just so the board understands, the third floor is one bedroom, but most of the living space is on the second floor.
So yeah, no second room. Floor is an upside down house where the first floor has four bedrooms, and you access the house from the first floor, but go up to the second floor, which is the complete living area, the only living area.
So the primary bedroom being on the third floor, the only people who would presumably be up there, to the extent the board's concerned this turns into a party deck or something, it would only be Mr. and Mrs. Bradley. Most of the outdoor living would be on the first or the second floor, correct?
Correct, and I'll say that from the history of this house being built and going back and forth numerous times, I've tried to come up with dozens of different versions of how you. I have a deck and not have a deck, meet the code, not meet the code, et cetera, et cetera. What means cap regulations, Jimmy Agnesuna says, we're good with the better code. But again, we're asking for a good-sized deck, only for this master bedroom folks. And I tried to do a roof that looks like a roof, looks like a deck, and this is the best thing we can come up with, which is the third floor deck, but really acts as cover for the second floor. That's pretty much its intention. It's allowable to CAFRA. It's open, there's no enclosure, it doesn't intend to put any kind of screen or a glass enclosure around the corner because they want open air. But again, they want the open air, they want the sea air, but they want the air to protect.
Obviously the board looks at this and they see a large third floor deck. It will be a deck even though we're calling it a roof for the structure below. So admittedly, it's going to be something that's not allowed by code because the deck is outside the envelope that would be allowable. But short of putting a roof over the second floor deck and having some strange roof line for the third floor, this was the best option we could come up with, correct?
Correct. And the house next door has, I'm not sure what their situation is, but they have to open the deck, which I believe, I don't know if it's not allowed or not, I'm not going to address that. But again, we're trying to create, again, as an architect, I look at any buildings that have the sort of a widow's wall. We have a guardrail that's across the roof, and maybe a stair access to it. So in my mind, I'm thinking that, okay, how do we make this look like a widow wall? Allow for the shade and shadow protection of the second floor deck below that, and still make it work as a cover. It's going to look like a deck. I thought of maybe closing off part of the deck on the third floor, but that doesn't make a lot of sense either. So we're struggling with how to present this, and this is what I thought was one way that that meets all, at least my points in this.
Press pause for a second, John. I'll ask John Barnhart to please testify briefly about the issues related to CAFRA, the fact that we do have an application that was approved and that this will be built under that application for your office.
Pardon me, John, before you leave, I have two questions.
Yes.
What is the size of the third floor deck? And what is the size of the second floor deck?
Okay, it's 12 feet deep by the length of the building, approximately 52 feet long.
Okay. How about the second floor deck?
That's the second floor.
That is the second floor deck.
Third floor, right now, we have a column situation.
Right.
That the building can easily extend the columns. It would basically match what's below it.
So both decks are the same size?
The same size. Now, the first floor deck, which you'll have to go further out up to the bulkhead.
Right.
That's different. That's a different deck and different regulations. But we wanted to match it with the second floor, which meets the setback.
Right.
For building, 15 feet back from the bulkhead.
Also, with third floor decks, they make them, they bring the sides in a bit. To do that, because the ends of the decks aren't generally used as much. I was wondering if you had considered bringing in the sides of the third floor deck in.
I've thought about that in one of my many versions. I drafted up pulling it in, what, how far you want to pull it in, and the fact that the house is built and the clients have walked the floor and then the living room is pretty much the entire floor and the second floor is all really living. dining, kitchen, all front corner to the deck, so everything is, there's no bedrooms, it's all functioning, dining, TV watching, deck. And the idea is that at any point along that facade, that they could walk out to that second deck and be in the truck, whether it's raining outside or sun, wind.
That's not going to fly. So I'm with the chairman on this. Yeah. That's too big. We've not approved anything that
nothing
across
like
the whole facade of, yeah, of the. I'm just no. I'm,
yeah, that's why we have
this needs to be. This should be stacked up and stepped in on the third floor, like almost every other third floor deck that we've talked about.
We try.
My opinion.
Yeah.
You know, other board members can say what they say, but
I know exactly.
Land a plane on that. 52 feet wide. In your own testimony, you said this bedroom is only for the residents.
The third floor is the master bedroom.
Right.
And that's the only room that has access, that will have access.
Right, so why do they need a 12 by 54 foot wide deck?
They need it for, not for the deck itself, they don't need it for the third floor master bedroom. They need it as shade and shadow and inclement weather for the entirety of that second floor, which is all living space, living kitchen.
But Mr. Chairman, we are reasonable people, as you know, and I can certainly discuss with the property owner the potential to bring in or bring out from the boardwalk the space so that it still provides cover for the deck below but doesn't comply with the code as anticipated, so that it's not necessarily as wide as presented. If that's something we might be able to discuss with the property owner, I'd be willing to do that for sure.
I think
I have a question. Could you not provide retractable awnings? And put three of them across the length of the house. So whenever they need the shade, just
we thought about that a little bit. And the slight problem with the retractable awnings is the wind and the property owners looked at a number of options and felt like something more solid would be a better cover. But that doesn't mean the property owner is stuck on that width. We spoke briefly today and I said, you know, to the extent we need to make some modifications, the board might ask us to make it slightly smaller, maybe more than slightly smaller, but I do have the ability to talk to Mr. Bradley and discuss this.
What is the orientation of the deck in direction-wise? Is it east, west?
It's parallel to the boardwalk.
So it's parallel. So it's an easterly view.
It's sort of caddy-canoe, but if you look at the site plan, it's not exactly
the morning sun comes in on the decks.
Morning sun to the left side of the cross, that's sort of behind the deck. So yes, it will happen.
And, in the afternoon, the sun's not going to hit any of those decks in the front. It's going to hit the side of the house and come in.
Correct. Probably after one or two, it'll be on the other side.
It's going to hit the back. It's going to come from the back of the house, hitting yeah, that way. And there won't be any sun on those front decks.
After
2 or 3
o'clock.
Over noon.
You'll have sunlight.
But the intense sun of the day is not on those decks.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. It's just like the boardwalk.
Yeah, okay.
The deck is parallel with the boardwalk.
Yeah, I understand.
I get trying to cover that second floor deck, but we haven't had a third floor deck come in that's been anywhere near the size that we've talked about allowing, that we have allowed. Everything's been it's been just what you said, coming off the master suite. We've allowed these decks to come out, little sitting area, nice place to have a cup of coffee or tea or a glass of wine. It's nice, and this would, you know, I'm looking at it from there's two columns, four columns. If you brought this in from those two center columns back to the, where there's sections of walls there, I think that gives you a 12 by, it's a third of that second floor.
That's deserved the avenue.
We've had a good discussion.
Mr. Chairman, we're trying to work our wrap our head around something here, but Mr. Obelenis said when he was speaking with Mr. Agnesino, the issue is more CAFRA-related with the roof than the deck, because John explained the situation about the deck coming in.
Yeah, I've back and forth numerous times, and thank God Jim had the time to work with me on this, trying to figure this out. We're caught in the middle. People let us do a roof over that deck, over the second floor deck, not the deck in the first place. You would have the smaller decks off the master, and then to the side of it, there was a roof cover.
Right.
And that's okay, if you do that.
Well, except...
Except, that's the line, like you say, my uncle Bonnie, so the D word, whatever. We're caught in the middle. Yes, the Bentley roof is fine. No, CAFRA roof is not allowed. We're afraid that it's going to be closed. One day that roof and now part of that permanent cover, we're going to expand the interior space. I guess that's the fear of
trellis, either
the state.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, what do we do? We're going to try to figure out if we can have a roof.
Gazebo. Yeah, trellis.
At the risk of FEMA or which is allowed by the vendor, can we disguise it so that you can't, it's not a deck, it's not the 52 by 12 foot portion of the middle, it is the deck to the third floor master bedroom, and somehow or another create this cover that somehow meets CAFRA's concerns and something in between.
You can run.
That's your job.
You could run purlins in.
I didn't even say that. It's not easy being an architect.
No, I agree.
There is a solution to this. Yes, there is a solution. And the solution, well, first of all, you have to understand that the deck was supposed to be inside in the building to begin with. The third floor decks were supposed to go inside the building.
Yes.
That's what they were. So this is pulled outside. The second thing is that when you do sun-shaded structures, you can do, I'm forgetting the word here, pergola. Is running a pergolas across and run purlins of material at an angle or straight, and that will give you shading across the whole deck, but no deck, but give you an architectural feature. And then you can put a smaller deck on top, and you can then you have those purlins running at either straight or at an angle, and you're shaded, and you have a decorative feature.
So you're saying in the center section?
In the center section?
The center section has the deck.
In the center section has the deck. And then they can pull them in to narrow the building, and you can see where the posts are, about 6 feet in. You pull them into the first post, you start your pergola, and you go right across, and those dovetail in. Yeah, like that.
Like open trellis on the top, right?
And that's it, and that's it. And if they want to, they can repeat the process too.
I get what all of our, we have very few beachfront homes, and I get that. And I know we like to make each one of them iconic and use the space out there. And I know, trust me, I know if they do this work, that every variance sits on its own merits. But we grant a deck that's full width wide. And here you don't have too much of an issue because the lot next to you is basically open space.
Golf course.
Yeah, volleyball. And then you got the street, so it protects any views on that side of it. Man, it's just a big deck on the third floor.
I got stuck on it. I spent a lot of time. The word deck is what people are worried about.
Right.
You're right. The deck, if it's a deck, you know, I can't imagine my clients walking out with a chaise lounge.
You'd be lost.
The size of the bowling alley. And if there's a way to redefine or construct this so that it sheds water, it's not a roof, it's just a, again, I don't know, I don't want to invent a word that's not in the code anymore. You obviously have to follow it.
How about you build it in Florida?
And
what's that?
You build it in Florida.
Explain the DEP's concern with me. Can John help with the DEP?
John, he's gonna explain, okay. Probably got
it. All right, John, come on up.
This doesn't necessarily resolve the concern about the size of the deck. It just makes sure everybody understands how they got where they are. It's a matter of semantics or definitions with the CAFRA regulations versus what you would be allowed to do under the vendor. The DEP does not regulate decks in the setback. They require on the oceanfront your building has, your house has to be set back 25 feet, which this project complies, but they don't regulate decks, and you can project those decks into that 25-foot zone. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, you can keep stacking decks, and they still don't call any of those decks a roof. The minute they can design and build a roof, they consider it part of the building. And it's a definitional thing between the two. We've been dealing with this for years and years and years. In fact, I just had a case that I finally, after 25 years, was able to use it against them, where they were trying to tell me that a section of a house was not part of the house, it was a deck, but it had a roof over it. So I pointed out to the EP that, no, it has a roof over it, and that's how you consider it part of the building. And we finally won that case. But that's the issue that Mr. Oblenis is trying to accomplish for the owner, is to get a roof, but he's not allowed to have a roof by definition. But understanding what your concerns are, it's big depth. I mean, there's no, you know, granted, who's really going to be going through the master bedroom to use it, but it is still a big structure up there on that third level. So I do understand the concerns, and I think what Eric and I were just kind of discussing is that there is certainly probably some good compromise to accomplish the goals of what they're trying to achieve, with maybe some modification.
Well, we don't want to violate CAFRA, which we can't, but if we stick to CAFRA, we violate Ventnor. And if we give Ventnor what it wants, then, you know, have the roof over, which we would prefer, we can't build that per DEP. So I guess the goal would be to figure out a way, since we can't put a roof over top of that, to make the existing designed deck on the third level smaller.
That's the way you get both.
Trying to figure out how much smaller to accommodate the needs of the family below. And obviously, as John said, it is a big deck. We recognize that. But we're not sure how to make it smaller to still give the cover and also to not run afoul of the board.
And I also thought, again, what is a deck? What is a roof? Technically, for drainage purposes, you want water runoff. And I believe it's a quarter to a foot or something, which is a very gentle slope. So now the rainwater will come up. And one of my thoughts for one of the many versions of this dilemma is that if you look at the two sides of that third floor, middle being a true deck that they can walk out of, the two sides, if we had a surface that was a drained surface, that, again, it's a fine line between what is a roof and what is a surface that's draining water that you cannot walk on. You can't walk onto it. You can't put chairs on it. You can't put tables on it. It's got a slope to it. And yet, from the beach, you have the guardrail that's protective, so somebody can go out there for maintenance, cleaning, you know, seashells from seagulls and stuff, that you can walk out on it, but it's technically a draining surface that you can't set up. You can't set up furniture, obviously. Only the drain portion. And again, a fuzzy gray area between, you know, we'll have to look at that as a roof. They're not going to see it because it's got a guardrail. It looks like a deck, but it's not. You can't populate with furniture and stuff. Drains water. Everything else works. The middle part is accessible.
You have a temporary seasonal awning.
And by all intents and purposes, it's the same guardrail that matches on the one below. But it's not a usable surface. Again, I'm trying to figure out a way to...
I'm working. Awning.
Yeah.
Awning is the solution.
Awning was one of my 25 versions. Awnings were one of the versions. No. I thought very large umbrellas and make it look like a festival. Have, you know, five umbrellas, beautiful,
right.
Multicolored umbrellas. Now, what about? I mean, this is. Like,
well, sometimes everyone has to compromise.
And we understand that, Ms. Lott. I think the compromise is we have to make the deck smaller is what it comes down to. And I think.
Well, I think that's a plan we should probably look at.
What we need to do is
in the future,
two wings off.
You know, and come up with a plan, and we'll revisit.
So, just for the board to give us maybe a little input to talk to the property owner about.
This poles are 14 about apart.
Without obviously prejudging the application, you can't do.
And you put in
to the extent we are able to
28 feet,
cut some of this
roughly 28 feet
over and back,
whatever size you want to do.
Where is the board's head with regard to sizes? We don't want to come back and do the same thing where we're still too big. We'd like it to be approvable in a way that, you know, suits everybody's needs without having, again, to run afoul of DEP regulations. because the ideal thing would be to just roof it. If we can roof it, we're done. We don't even care about the size of the third floor deck, but we know we can because it's a camera violation. As John said, their perception is someone will eventually enclose that, and then the house itself will be too close to the beach.
Can I ask you a question? If you move the deck back to where the board is acceptable for the deck to be pushed back, why can't an awning be put on the on the third floor to get the shade on the second one, and it'll solve everybody's problem? I don't think you can do the retractable. You know, even with the wind sensors on retractable on that boardwalk, it's going to blow off it. You know, so
that was the umbrella problem too. It's too windy.
I just think you did a nice awning from where you move it back down. You're going to get all that shade.
Mike, I think you're talking about a seasonal awning. We've used seasonal awnings in the past.
Yeah.
They actually put a structure up, a pipe or whatever the case is, and then they put a temporary glass awning.
I would rather go with what you were talking about before.
I think it's a better way. A pergola is a better way of doing it.
Yeah.
But the other way you can do it also, you can do a pergola, and you can put the roof section in the third floor as a pergola, and then you can have a canvas drape, almost like a parachute, that goes over top of it, and to block out the sun temporarily, and they can pull it down anytime they want. And you have that, and if you have your deck at 12 by 24, which is a standard housing component, John, you know that. It's 12 by 24, it's a standard building block. That's a 12 by 55. So 12 by 24, on scale, may fit in there nicely. And then if you have the two sides in decorative timbers or decorative work.
So we would work with what's already been established, obviously, for the deck below, which is the first floor deck that carries to the second floor.
Right.
These two columns here. So we're saying that take those two columns.
Right.
And that'll establish.
And go up. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and you can go beyond those two columns.
Trim it out. And
they're 14 feet apart, those columns.
How far do you want to pull it in from the sides? So what I was looking is, as you have those, I mean, I just crossed out areas here. I took those columns you have there in the center.
Right.
That would be the third floor deck.
Right.
That middle section. And then whatever you can do on these sides to create that shade, I think you can get a little, you know, creative with trying to create something there. I'm not sure I understand the parachute thing that Jeremy was talking about, but pergolas or something like that.
Right. For some shade.
I mean,
as the sun comes through it, it doesn't come right down. I mean, certainly we...
That was one of the versions.
What's your thoughts, Tim?
It's tough to say no to a customer. With a canvas underneath it.
Yeah.
Great idea, in which I saw, you push a button,
right.
Close.
Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah.
They
just put one of those in Brigantine. So what Mike's talking about, Eric, and maybe the thought, very modern looking. I don't know if that matches with the house. There are these mechanical pergolas that they turn. What's that?
Yeah.
Well, you hit a button and it rotates. It's got a motor in it.
Right.
They just did one on a project they're working over in Ventnor, or excuse me, Brigantine.
Yes.
And that way it creates the shade, but it's not a roof.
Exactly.
We did that in Maury too in a couple.
It goes 90 degrees, and that's it, or 80 some degrees.
I don't know what that looks like. It looks like a big...
Yeah.
When it's fully open, it looks like a regular trellis.
Yeah.
And if it's deep enough, you're going to block that sun coming this direction anyway.
Right. Right.
You're going to get sun on that deck early in the morning, no matter what.
I don't want to waste the board's time about another application, but I would like, if it's not too much trouble, to take just a minute to call my clients, discuss one thing before continuing, if that wouldn't be a problem.
Well, I think we want to go one thing before you talk to your client. Was Mike,
Could you explain to Eric what you just discussed again?
I love looking at this stuff. I go on Facebook and look at all the new buildings and materials and what's out there. And I'm kind of toying with the idea from my backyard to build a pergola, but I can't take the sun, even though I'd like it. So you push a button, and the whole thing closes. So you have a roof, and when you want the sun, it opens.
The top of it's louvered?
Yeah.
Right. So when you hit the button, they turn, all those things rotate, and it's a solid roof.
And is it water resistant?
Yeah.
Rain resistant?
Yeah.
I don't know about rain resistance, but it's sun resistance. Here it is right here.
It's a roof and not a roof.
It's a roof and not a roof. It's a hard material.
We have it here. We have it up here.
It's not canvas.
Mechanical louver right here.
That's it.
If you could come up, we have it right up here. Peter, could you bring this laptop down a second? Cool. Can you do that? Show them.
Put it over a hot tub and bring it to you.
This is open.
Oh, I need the shower.
I think we have a little bit of an idea.
Yeah, so it just goes like this. Yeah. So it's like this.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Can you retract it?
Yeah,
kind of like vertical blind.
I guess you could, if
you know what I mean. So it doesn't, it's permanent.
Yeah.
There you go. The exact distances now as well.
So is it flat?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it's angled. So water.
So you understand the mechanical part?
I do.
Okay. Well, why don't you take?
It's actually done when the whole thing slides.
A few minutes.
Yeah.
We're gonna go to a recess for
it's a permanent structure.
Perfect. Good enough.
So those columns will continue out to the edge of the building.
All right. Jim,
who has it?
Board members.
You gotta bring those columns.
We're going to go. They're going to talk to their client. We're going to go on recess. We're going to go off the record for 5 minutes.
Okay.
We're discussing no cases.
Nope.
While we're off the record. So, Jim, take us off the record, please.
And if he's because
we are back on the record. Eric, you can continue if you like.
So we had an opportunity to speak to Mr. Bradley very briefly, and the idea of the slatted pergola seems to be a good one, something that he definitely wants John to take a closer look at. And what he was thinking about is, we have to obviously show this, I know Ms. Lattis, if you want to see what it looks like, but the goal would be to have part of that pergola on one side, part on the other. But he doesn't want to necessarily do it so it's so wide. So what he had asked, and what I would suspect that we're going to amend the application to, would be the deck itself would be cut in from each side of the property.
About 10 feet.
10 feet from each side, and then in place of the deck on that portion would be the pergola with the slats. Each side would get that. And then the deck itself would remain in the middle right off the double.
So that's 20 feet. 30 feet. The middle deck's 35 feet.
Right.
32. 52 minus 20.
Right. Still 420 square.
But I think you cut down a little bit. Kind of center of the columns.
Right.
So
it's 52.
That's 55. And that's about 20 feet wide. So if we, again, with structure. We could cantilever out a little bit. We just can't end the structure back to column or something. If we went out a little bit faster,
could you
create that symmetry? We would have a center.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you quickly work up a size? We don't have a lot of time here. Yeah. So give us the size that you want to apply for, change your application to, for the main deck, and then for the second floor, and then the space between, and that's it, for the main deck.
Why don't you take my plans and mark them up?
Let's get this done.
Okay.
want to open to public while they're doing that?
Yes, let's do that. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak on this application? Yes, sir. Would you please come forward? Yes, and be sworn. Thank you for waiting. I appreciate it.
Just name and address, and I'll get you sworn in.
Alan Lader, 110 South Dorset Avenue, Ventnor.
Mr. How do you spell your
Lader,
last name?
L-A-I-T-E-R.
Mr. Lader, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for hearing me tonight. I live diagonally behind this new house going up. So if you can envision looking at this house from the boardwalk, obviously this is on Derby, I'm on Dorset, and the third house in. So from the second and third floor of my home, the rear of my home, I can see the decks directly in my view. The only thing I would ask you to consider, I don't mind the whole width of the deck because I can't see all 52 feet, but the 12 feet of railing that would stick out from the house would block my view directly of the pier. The house is beautiful. I have no objection to the house, but if that railing goes 12 feet out on that third floor, that railing is then going to block my view. But if you're doing what you propose to bring it in from the sides, my issue is gone. So, but I wanted you to hear that that's an important thing for me and a couple of my other neighbors, that they weren't here tonight, but that if that comes in, what is it, 10 feet from each side? 12 feet from each side, then that's my issue is gone. As long as the railing doesn't stick out, you know, beyond, you know, where the angle of my view would be, but I don't think it would be.
It wouldn't, because that's almost exactly what we're talking about, is that that portion would be the pergola with the slats, and there wouldn't be any railing there at all. It would just be...
Right, and the pergola would basically be on the top of the second floor deck.
Right.
Yeah. Right now, if there was nothing above that second floor deck...
There's a rail.
There would just be a rail at the bottom, which is fine. This pergola now, you know, going to be up with the slats up. Obviously, I see that because now it's going higher, if you can envision
now,
that.
Built in.
Right.
The pergola will be, the slats will be the same high as the deck, as the deck, floor.
The floor of the third floor deck. Right.
Yeah.
The
only rails will be 3 feet above that.
Right. So, yeah, so that solves my issue with the whole project of it. So, right.
I'd like to say one thing to you.
Yes.
You gave this a lot of thought. I appreciate you coming in and sharing it with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you hearing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's a beautiful house otherwise. Yeah. It really is very nice. I would have liked to have my whole pier view, but that,
okay. You
know. So, our request for the amendment is exactly, before you said that, exactly that distance. 12 feet from each side on the way in, which would make the center portion, right centered in front of the house, 30 feet wide, and then the system to supply shade on each side.
I thought you said
it's just so at the center is right there in our conversation, basically, you know, these are worst problems you can have.
Right.
Beach front property, so
we're
trying to be as good as we can to the neighbors, hopefully they appreciate it, and we certainly appreciate them coming, but that would be our amended proposal. Mr. Chairman,
right. For the width of the deck to be 30 feet centered in front, and some system, I assume it'll be the louvered pergola, but there might be something else out there, but it would never be gated, or there wouldn't be any obstructions over that side, certainly to keep the neighbors' views intact.
Right.
So it wouldn't protrude or elevate above
correct.
The
deck line.
Correct.
Deck line.
Right.
And look,
right.
It's very possible that Mr. Bradley says, I'm not going to put anything there because maybe it's just enough deck. He puts family members who are sensitive to the sun under the shaded part and the remainder just stays open. That might even be better for the neighbors. So, but it won't be a deck and it won't be a railing.
Right.
So, and that's certainly something we would agree to a condition.
Okay.
So that middle deck that you're still going to have that's 30 some feet,
is
12 feet.
They're asking for a 12 by 30. You're asking for a 12 by 30 deck, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
12 by 30.
So, and what would the third floor deck be?
12 by 30.
It'll be the same thing.
No, the second floor is the full width.
Second floor is 12 by 55.
Third floor is the one that's 30 by 12. 30.
Right.
So the columns would
through here an hour.
Would come in on that.
Now, the columns stay where they are, and then the deck can go out and be cantilevered in, and then depending on if there was some system, whether it was a pergola or some other system or shade, I have a feeling you probably will do nothing there, because we're going to talk about, you know, the neighbors' concerns. It might actually be better to just have nothing at all.
Right.
Because 30 by 12 is a lot of shade, I don't understand, but
yeah,
that should be enough to keep the family members under that, and not to go to the first floor deck.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought you'd bring the columns in.
No.
No, I don't think you can, they support everything below it. The columns would have to stay where they're at, it would just be the deck getting cut off, well, feed it from each side.
The tie-in structurally, they're waterproof, they're in place right now, so that's a good change.
They line up with the window gas.
Right, everything lines up.
It's all the first of all.
So, the record, could you, for the record, could you state your application?
Yes.
So, for the record, we're seeking a variance for the size of the third floor deck, which is outside the building envelope, based upon input from the board, certainly happy to hear from the neighbor and discussing with the client. We're going to amend that so that the third floor deck is still outside the building envelope, but much less. It will be centered along the third floor center line of the property, 30 feet wide by 12 feet deep, and then on either side, as a condition of approval, if the board sees fit to grant it, we would agree to no railing or any structure that would block the view of a neighbor from the angle on either side. And on the deck itself, the third floor, we would agree to no curtains or shades or whatever people put up, you know, in Florida to make it more fashionable. They don't care about that. It's just really just for shade for the second floor. And admittedly, it'll be smaller than they wanted, but I think it was Ms. Salata who said, you know, want is different from need, so we'll take what we can get.
What is that pergola called?
But the third floor would have use.
Yes.
As a regular.
It would be a usable deck.
Motorized. Yeah.
Smaller.
Okay. Yeah. And,
motorized trellis action.
And then for the record also, you would consider a motorized trellis?
Correct.
Yeah.
In
the area where there is no deck or railing.
It would be something that would not be obstructive to any of the neighbors at all. So if it were a trellis or the pergola, it would still be flat so they couldn't see from their property,
right,
any decking at all. It would just be clear view.
And that would go on the second floor deck and in the top of the third floor deck, if they so wished.
The second floor, I think we can just leave like it is.
Well, you have permission to do that. If you want it, you can apply for it.
The second floor deck's already approved.
Second floor ceiling, okay. Third floor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So is there any thought to bring in the third floor deck in just a little bit, just so you'd see like a
column?
It seems like it would be more aesthetically pleasing.
You're probably correct, but there's really no way to do that with the columns. Then you have a column sticking up through and
Now, so Eric, one proposal is to, you're going to have the full width deck, but only the middle portion is going to have the railings.
I don't mean this way.
No, not even this full width deck. It would be completely eliminated 12 feet from each corner of the house.
Right, so, but you're still talking about having a solid surface there?
Of the deck that exists that you can use, yes. For either side, it would be
somewhat open.
Pergola or nothing.
Okay.
Right.
I have to say it's going nothing.
In that 12-foot area each side, there is no decking, there's nothing. It's a void.
Yes.
It's a void unless you've been a motorized.
Right, unless you're permitted to use a motorized trellis system.
We'll offer that.
Right, and that would be it. Okay. Good. Board members, everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So just the center portion remains.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Is there anything further you wish to explain to the board?
No, I think we vetted this one out. It's been a long night, and I apologize for dragging this out. So now we're ready to
go. Are you complete?
We are complete.
Did you put your report into the record?
Yes.
Are you in agreement with Roger McLennan's report? Eric, are you in agreement with Roger McLennan's report?
We concur.
Okay, fine. Do you have anything further to add?
No, thank you for the time. That's all.
And then at this time, we'll consider you complete. And as board members, do you have any questions you have of anyone? If not, we'll go right to our solicitor, and we'll frame a resolution in the affirmative.
Okay, it's a C variance application, just the one C variance to permit the third-floor deck outside the building envelope where they're not permitted. The condition will be, the conditions will be that the deck will be 30 feet wide centered and 12 feet deep, and then on each side, in that approximately 12 feet that they have on each side, they're permitted to attempt to develop some type of motorized trellis system that won't have any railings, and it'll be something flat that won't interfere with the views of the neighboring property owners.
Okay. I have a motion and a second, please.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
I'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. Obviously, we've discussed this at length. We've come up with somewhat of an innovative solution based on the problems with CAFRA and their regulations and definitions, and also working with the existing property and its owners. The trellis system that we, motorized trellis system, can act for sun. We're allowing the deck to be, it's a little larger than we want, but it's still workable, and it does do the job as far as getting the resort, keeping the resort nature of the property and the beachfront character of the, of itself. So with that, I'm going to say I'm going to vote in favor.
Commissioner Landgraf?
I also support the application as it's been amended to. The original proposal to me was just too large of a deck on that third floor. I like the transition that we've came up with, the amendment that we came up with. I appreciate the applicant working with that and satisfying the neighbor's concern with that deck. And the railing is really what has been your issue, I think. And I think this is going to be a more aesthetic facade. I think this stepping that deck in is really going to make that look a little tiered in, and I like that look. So I vote yes. I don't think it's a detriment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance.
Commissioner Crevel?
I vote in favor of that application. I think, yeah, I think the compromise needs and wants was struck here in a way that fits the scale of the house as it goes up, instead of lightening up the mass of the house as it goes up, and keep the integrity of the columns in the right place. I vote in favor.
Reverend Zambi Hutch?
I appreciate the attempt to compromise, but we granted a variance to allow the third floor deck before, and I don't see how we could justify expanding it so large an area. I think that it's inappropriate. It's not justified. So I'm voting no.
Mike Wilson.
I remember when they came and asked for the variance for that small porch off the master bedroom. I thought it was very small, that you could only one person at a time could drink a cup of coffee out there. It was so small. I think, even though this is a bigger deck than I really think it should be, it is appropriate to the look of the building and the compromise of coming in 24 feet and possibly using a pergola or not. I think everybody worked hard to do this, to get it to this point. So I'm going to vote in favor.
Lorraine Salata?
I'm a little torn here. I think the deck is still awfully large. I would like to see it pulled back a little bit, even though you told us that can't be done. 30 feet is still pretty significant. I'm not really comfortable with that, so I'm going to have to vote no.
Peter Taco?
I'm not comfortable with it either. I think that the ordinance, as it's written, tucking those third floor decks up into the house really makes a big difference in the look of what goes on. And this deck being much, much larger than anything we've granted variances for, I think it's just overpowering. And for those reasons, I'm going to vote against it.
We're complete, and
4-3 it passes. I have
4-3 it passes.
Yep, 4-3 passes.
Thank you all for your time and for the assistance. I just want to let you know I was walking out to call the client, and Roger had emailed me the info about the pergola, so I sent it to him while we were on the phone. That was a very big help, so thanks to you all, and give our best pleas to your land use administrator, hopefully she's doing better, and good night.
Okay.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robles, thank you for everything. Yes. You know, a lot of good ideas.
Such a, that's my guy, you know.
Next application is that of,
So we're doing Cambridge.
Mr. Chairman, with the last application being a D variance,
Mr. Creed, can you join me also? Okay.
See you, Lynn.
Let the record reflect that the commissioner, Landgraf and Commissioner Kriebel have departed from the board physically. And because we have a use variance coming up, they cannot sit on.
Right, Chair.
So the record now reflects their absence.
They placed the company in that business.
Okay. Are you going to do a preamble on this? Mr. Fasenda, you're going to do a preamble. We're going to swear everybody in. Roger's going to do a preamble, and then you have the floor.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, I have Mr. Barnhart here tonight, who obviously just testified in the prior application, as well as Denny Scherer, who's a member of Ocean PNC LLC. At your request, I'd have them both sworn at this time.
And you have the other half of the Scherer family here, too.
There are other Scherers here, but I don't anticipate hearing any.
All right. Mr. Scherer, Mr. Barnhart, if you could just state your name and address, I'll swear both of you in together. Get started.
Denny Scherer, 4 East Beaumont Avenue in Summers Point.
John Barnhart, 400 North Dover Avenue, Atlantic City.
And do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Great, thanks.
And again, we'll stipulate to the credentials of Mr. Barnhart.
Thank you.
And that's it. All right, Roger, you're up. And please present the your report.
Is your architect here?
I don't see Michael. Very good. Thank you, Board Chairman and Board Members. The report is dated April 8th, 2022 in regard to the application of Ocean PNC LLC, located at 8 South Melbourne Avenue, Block 82, Lot 17, seeking C variances and D variance for use. It's my understanding that the D variance for height will be removed and be presented as a C variance, being less than 10% of the allowable height. Is that correct, John?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So only one D variance, and that's for the use of the property. Materials reviewed on the bottom of page 1, continued on page 2. The project description is as follows. The applicant seeks relief from the City of Ventnor's land use requirements to construct a new duplex located within the R4 zone, which does not permit duplexes, so a use or a D variance is required. Other proposed non-conforming issues are requiring variance as well as outlined below. Again, I just addressed the height is not a D variance any longer, it's a C variance, it's less than 10% of the allowable. The zoning chart for R4 zoning is on page 2, about halfway down, continued on page 3, and highlights several variances, and actually some of these variances will be eliminated, and I felt that they could, and the applicant has worked hard to eliminate some of these variances. So the variances identified initially are, one, use variance for 2.5 single-story, or 2.5-story single-family detached homes are permitted, and a duplex is proposed. And I believe there was a triplex there prior to it being demolished, and they have a CNC certificate as a some evidence. Building coverage, whereas 50% is the maximum permitted building coverage, and 58.17% is proposed. I believe that the decks are causing the increase in the building coverage. Again, that'll be provided under testimony. Principal building height, whereas the principal building height is 31 feet from DFE plus 4, or elevation 9 plus top of curb. and 35 feet is proposed, so obviously that'll be probably less than 34 feet. Off-street parking, whereas two units require two spaces each, and the spaces must be compliant for four spaces. I believe that they set back the garage face door, and all off-street parking spaces will be provided, so that off-street parking variances will be eliminated, provided confirmation under testimony. Third-floor deck, whereas the third-floor deck is required to be located within the building envelope, and the proposed deck is not within the building envelope or the walls below. That's based on definitions, and again, I don't believe that one is being eliminated, but testimony will be required for, put the proofs on. Curb cut width at 21 feet, I believe they're proposed, is modified to install or construct two 9-foot wide curb cuts, which is permitted. So from the initial C or six variances, I believe we're down to four, including the use variance. Comments that landscape plan shall be provided as a condition of approval. Again, that's just, you can take the architectural plan, submit it, and provide landscaping as that'll be approved as part of the landscape plan. The applicant may wish to bifurcate the application for a separate vote on the use aspect of the project. Again, that's up to the applicant to request. The applicant is contrasting to the R4 zone to the adjacent R7 zone in order to bolster their argument for the use variance. Again, duplexes are permitted in the R7 zone where one existed before and along with a CNC. That is not the case in the R4 zone, so that triggers the use variance. Again, the one-car garage issue and the building coverage, we hit on that already. The distance to the sidewalk, again, that has been addressed. Number of shrubs, that's going to be addressed, and that'll be fully compliant from my understanding, my discussion with the applicant. The third-floor deck is a variance, and the height, again, the applicant shall hit on the height. And again, that's really the gist of the report, the guts of the report, so I will turn it over to the applicant at this time.
Okay. Do we have everybody's call?
Yes.
Okay. At this time, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, board members.
I'm still too soon. Are you going to bifurcate your application, or are you going to go it all at once?
Do I need to make that decision right now? I'd like to make that maybe a little bit later if I could, just to see how the application goes in. I think it is a definite possibility, so we would like to present the entire application.
Yeah. I think how they should likely proceed, present their whole case, but when we get to a vote, oftentimes we would
Mr. Chairman,
if they want to present it all together.
Remember that we bifurcate.
Okay. The board members have that opportunity.
Yeah.
Any other board members want bifurcation?
Bifurcation in the sense when we get to a vote? I mean, I think they should present
exactly
everything
that
they want to do. But when we get to a vote,
we
would probably do a vote on the use.
I would rather do it now.
Yeah.
Well, I think they need to present their entire case to support the use variance. Correct.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's.
And I think there's going to be a lot of overlap. So if they put it in, and then we would vote on the use. If the use passes, then we would go to the height, the building coverage. If the use doesn't pass, then we'll stop.
We've had this dilemma before, and they felt that they
typically how it's done.
Shot as a presentation.
I'll rescind that.
Right, and then do the vote. Okay.
But I'll ask again later.
Yes, you can.
Very good.
Okay. Now we have useful 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All members here are voting. So anyone here that's left is on for voting.
But there's eight members.
Yeah,
There's eight.
Yes.
So Wendy wouldn't.
Okay. I thought we had seven.
Don. I think it's Don. Sorry,
Don. Wouldn't vote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Don, you're allowed to ask questions and stuff like that.
Yeah. Everybody's as a member of the board, you're an equal member as far as questioning and dialogue and so on. So, please proceed.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, board members, my name is Chris Vicente. I'm here tonight with John Barnhart, who you've obviously already met, Denny Scherer, who is a member of the applicant LLC. Ocean PNC, LLC owns the property. It's 8 South Melbourne Avenue. It's known as Block 82, Lot 17. It is located in the R4 single-family district. As Roger indicated, as the report indicates, and as the application...
Is it 4 or 7?
We are here for...
This is 7.
...for use variance for a property, for a duplex to be constructed upon a property that's formerly housed in triplex. That triplex was permitted back in 2018 by the board by way of a certificate of non-conformity. I don't know if we have been on the board at that time, but you have seen this property in the past. It did get its certificate of non-conformity back in 2018, at which point, you know, obviously, after that, my client purchased the property. We have Mr. Barnhart here tonight to testify as to the positive and negative criteria that are needed and associated with typical use variance relief as well as any C variance relief. He will demonstrate that there are positive criteria. In order to satisfy the positive criteria, we need to show site suitability and the advancement of purposes of zoning. We'll also satisfy the negative criteria and demonstrate for the board that this is not a substantial detriment to the zone plan, nor is it a substantial detriment to the zoning ordinance. With that, I would call Mr. Barnhart to come on up.
Before you start that, for board members, so everyone's aware, is on page VP1, there is a zoning schedule for Zone 4, and there is a zoning schedule for Zone 7, which is put on there to support their case. Well, I believe for, if I'm correct in that, for your use variance. But the property is in the R4 zone.
That's correct. I think the R7 zoning schedule was simply put on the plans in an effort to demonstrate that we did, in fact, comply with the R7 standards.
So
I think that emanated out of some conversation that the applicant had here in City Hall.
But so no one is confused. This is an R4,
correct.
Not an R7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, continue, please.
John, you've familiarized yourself with this particular property?
Yes.
You're familiar with the surrounding area?
Yes.
You're familiar with the zoning ordinance and the zoning plan?
Yes.
Can you briefly, or as long as you need, describe the project for the board in terms of what is proposed, the site layout, and whatever else you need to
sure.
discuss?
So, The property in question is a site, and I'm going to start with exhibit A1, which is some aerial person, a photo exhibit. It's a site that is basically three lots in from Atlantic Avenue on the south Melbourne. It is on the southerly side of Melbourne Avenue, and it is a lot that has a frontage of 38 feet and a depth of 76 feet. Sitting on the site when our client purchased the property was what you see here in the upper left corner. It was a three-unit building, three-story, actually it's almost three and a half story because there wasn't ground floor space, living space. But it's a three-unit building that in 2018 obtained a certificate of non-conformity from this board. So it was a legally existing structure when our client purchased the property. They moved forward, they purchased the property in 2021, and they moved forward to start to clean the building out with the intent of making renovations to the building. What they discovered as they went through cleaning out the building and really looking at the structure further, that it wasn't something that they felt was in the best interest of this property, of their development, and also of this block. So what they then kind of stepped back for a moment, took a look at the project and said, what would be the best scenario for us? We bought a three-unit building, but what would be a better project, obviously for themselves and developers, but also for this block and for the community? What they then decided to do was to move forward with a two-unit building to reduce the density that they legally had existing at the time from three units to two units to meet the intent with some deviations, which I'll explain, because the variances that we are down to, I think, have specific meaning and purpose, but to develop a project that meets the intent of the front yard setbacks, side yard setbacks, rear yard setbacks, and all the things that would create a better development on this plan or on this property than what existed when they purchased the property. They consulted with the city hall a number of different times, came up with a plan based on the zoning. R4 zoning is the zoning at the location.
looking at the setbacks of the R4 district, trying to comply with them to the greatest degree possible, and that is the direction that they headed. We're here tonight for an application. The one thing that they did do is that they kind of did things a little bit out of order. So what do I mean by that? They tore the building down. Me as a professional planner coming in with a project like this, with that building sitting there, with the set of technical circumstances that I have as my proposed application, from a planning perspective, is a great project. I've got a building that is non-compliant in many regards. It's got a building coverage as it existed at 75%. It's got a lot coverage, and Ms. Salati will appreciate this, the lot coverage was 100% at the existing building. The setbacks on the side were only about 3 feet. The front yard setback was only, my estimation was about 3 feet. The parking had, there was no on-site parking. It had everything going against it, but it did have one thing. It has CNC, so they legally are allowed to have 3 units. So what I'm asking the board to do is to consider the fact that that's what they bought, and that's what they thought they had, and that's what they started moving forward with, but then they realized that that's not a better plan for this block, for themselves, and for the community. So they took a step back and went in a different direction, which is the project that we have here tonight, but they just did it slightly out of order. That makes my job a little harder, because I'm currently looking at a vacant piece of property. I recognize this board's position on that situation wholeheartedly, but I think we have a set of circumstances where they never really had an intent to just eliminate that three-unit building. Why would they? They bought it as a three-unit building, thought they wanted to renovate, they realized it's not the better plan. So this is a better planning alternative type of solution, we think. But I'm asking the board to not just look at this as a clean slate because of the fact that they did things slightly out of order. It wasn't in a vacuum, and they did have some consultation, and we are where we are today. Please be open-minded and look at this based on what they purchased, what they had, what they intended to move forward with, and look at the merits of the project that we have tonight. So what are we proposing? This is a very simplistic form of the site plan that I developed. We're just trying to create a clear picture of what we're proposing. You saw the architectural plans and the detail of the building. But what we're proposing is a two-unit building. It's a duplex style, an over-under style building. It'll have access to the first unit, one unit from the ground floor and an interior corridor, and the upper unit from the next exterior stair takes you to the first level porch, takes you to the second unit. There will be a garage and a parking space for each one of the units, so each unit will have two parking spaces.
Stacked?
Stacked, one garage and one space behind it. There will be a curb cut as proposed for each of the units. There are some differences in this versus what the architectural plan, and when I just came on board and looked at some of the things, because as a planner, you always look at our goal. Do we need every one of these variances to still accomplish the same goals? We were able to kind of pick away and eliminate three of the variances with our slight modifications. So with the layout that I have before you, and I'm going to call this exhibit 82, what we've done is we've modified the front wall of the garage to meet the minimum requirements that require setback from face of curb to the garage door, which allows us to have a conforming parking scenario at a total of 4 spaces. So the variance that was mentioned in Mr. McLaren's report is no longer a variance because we intend to comply with that standard. The second variance that was requested is in Mr. McLaren's report is with regard to shrubbery count, plant count. We absolutely will comply with that, and we are eliminating that request for variance. The third modification that we have made, and Mr. Refiner mentioned it already, but if you look at the architectural plans, they were proposing an 8-foot garage, standard garage, and they were proposing essentially standard ceiling heights at 9 feet. That's pretty much the standard today. They did have one of the floors at 10 feet. We're proposing to eliminate that, take it to 9 feet. So each of the floors would be 9 feet, and that would be a 34-foot peak height, which would make it a C variance, so it's no longer a D variance as was originally requested. And then, the last variance with regard to the curb cut, The original application was asking for a 21-foot wide curb cut. We are permitted to have 2 9-foot cuts, which actually work out well with the proposed garage layout, so we have eliminated that variance. So we've eliminated three of the variances that were requested. We have reduced the degree of the height variance. And I'll talk about, as I talk about some of the other variances, I think you'll see that I think we've made a better solution to what was originally submitted. But that's the scenario. But so what we have is we have a building that needs three C variances. I'll talk about the use class. We have a building that needs three C variances. The first C variance I just discussed is with regard to height. That variance is not a function of the number of units in the building. That variance is a function of how the ordinance is written based on the width of this lot. And as you know, in many single-family applications, that's a variance that you hear here now and again. We have a lot that is 38 feet, and that requires a maximum building height of 31 feet as measured above the garage. What we're proposing is a standard structure. It's 2.5 stories above the garage. By definition, each of the floors are proposed to be 9 feet. My opinion is the heights in many of these land use ordinances, if you do the math, are based on 8-foot ceilings for the most part. If you add the 8-foot floor structures for each of the floors, 31 feet works just fine. A more standard condition today, as we know, is 9-foot ceilings. So that is what creates the additional 3 foot of height that is requested. If you take the 3 9-foot ceilings, added the garage structure, it takes it to 34 feet as opposed to the 31 feet second variance that we are requesting is with regards to coverage. Now this is an interesting one because when you look at it and think with 8% building coverage variance, that's making the building a lot more than would be legally permitted today. That's a substantial difference. However, it's because of the way the definition of building coverage is written in that the I'm going to call that barn shaded area. That's enclosed building space. That is the building. That's if you're inside, if you're in that barn space. That's 50%. That meets your coverage. The decks, because we chose to stack decks at each level, they fold into being part of building coverage. So the coverage variance here is a result of the decks and not the building footprint. If you were to eliminate the top two decks and just have the first level deck, now it's called a porch. That entire 8% coverage goes away because you're allowed to have a porch and that doesn't count building coverage. But as soon as you put the second level deck above it, it becomes building coverage. So this request of 50% or 50 or 8% over is a result of obviously wanting to have deck structures because we are on the south side. You want to create a beautiful building, first of all, but secondarily also potentially grab glimpses of the views down on Melbourne Avenue toward the ocean. So the increase in building coverage does not give them any additional internal living space. It gives them additional deck space. The third variance that is requested is with regard to the third floor porch, third floor deck. So I'll go to the architectural plan. Third floor deck was, as designed by Mr. Cultures, was designed well across the face of the building. I'm familiar with your thoughts about the service deck as well. So what we want to discuss with our client is our proposal would be to amend that deck to take it off 4 feet on either side so that it is pinched in on both sides to be more compliant. The deck stacked across the face of the house, it creates an aesthetic look. They are proposing the hen roof all the way around it, so it is allowed to have a roof structure here, so it will appear to be a roof that surrounds the deck itself, and it will have additional roof on either of the two sides as a result of being roofed in 4 feet on each side, or losing a total of 8 foot of deck across the third floor deck area. So those are the three C variances that are being requested. With regard to the use, so you know, I go back to where I started. We have a three-unit building, and we legally have a three-unit building. So we have the ability to renovate it, or we have the ability to come to you and come up with a better plan. That's why we're here. You know, going from a three-unit building to a two-unit building. Yes, sir.
Pardon me one second. On you, while you're on the deck on the third floor.
Yes.
What is the size of the third floor deck that you're applying for?
So the width of the existing, the width as shown on this plan is 30 feet. We're taking 8 feet off of it, so it would be 22 feet.
By what?
That is, pardon me one second.
7 feet?
Seven.
So you amended your application, so you're amending your application to be the third floor deck to be 7 by 22?
That's correct. And the deck will have a pent roof around it.
A pent roof on the lower, around the base?
Correct.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay. So as I mentioned, we have three in the building. They make a decision to forego that three in the building to create what we believe is a much better planning alternative for this lot. Obviously, we recognize the R4, it's a single family zone. It doesn't permit multi-family buildings. It doesn't permit two-family buildings. It doesn't permit duplexes. But you can't ignore what they legally have. So what they've done is they've developed a building. They developed the characteristics of the building to look like a single family house. If you look at the front elevation, it looks like a single family house with a two-car garage. They held the setbacks, both the front side and rear setbacks, to conform to the R4 zoning district. Many of the projects that you bring forward when you have a multi-family building need to exceed those setbacks. In this case, they do not. With regards to the coverage, although we're asking for a variance, this is an interesting discussion.
John, real quick, before you provide testimony to the coverage, so the overall lot coverage is 74.9. That includes the building decks, all impervious. I just want to remind the board, and you, back in ordinance number 2021-021, we changed the definition of building coverage, that decks with a roof, you know, how we considered a solid deck to count as a roof as part of building coverage. That's been revised, so that counts as lot coverage. So if you take the decks away and your building itself composite building coverage, that variance goes away.
That's great to know.
Well, yeah, it's hard to find this stuff, but I just found it.
Is that codified at this point and in place?
Yes.
Okay. So
is that a limited variance?
So let's step back a second, if it doesn't make your difference. So, Roger, based on that ordinance change, What I'm suggesting to you is that if you take that building footprint, that with the enclosed building space, that's exactly 50%.
Okay.
And the decks is where I get the 58%.
And that counts as lot coverage? You counted that as lot coverage anyway.
Lot coverage, of course.
Right.
So we are at 74.8%. We comply with lot coverage as designed with the decks, with the driveways, with the back patios. That complies. We're not asking for a variance there.
Right. And so we did that to clarify because that's been an issue in the past. I think you've had several applicants. Right.
It has been an issue in the past, yeah. All right, so if that is in effect at this point, then we've just dropped another variance off. And we do know, and we no longer need to build another variance.
Yes, eliminated due to ordinance number 2021-021.
Right. I almost didn't have to come here tonight.
Well,
we're getting closer. I don't know if we can get over there. All right, so where that leads us from a key variance perspective, just to put it on the record, is we started at 6, we're down to 2. So we have the height, the 36 inches of height is still a variance, and then the third floor deck is still a variance from a key perspective. So back on the use. I've explained to you the situation. And like I said when I started, you know, it's a vacant lot at this point, so I recognize you technically have the right to look at it as a vacant lot and hold that hard line in that scenario. What I'm asking is that when you look at how this has played out since they purchased the property, they've never had an intent to not have a multifamily building here. We think from a planning perspective, they did what you would want any developer to do. Well, I legally have this, but let me do something better than that. Let me reduce the density. Let me build a brand new building. Let me make it nicer. That's what they intended to do. They just got a little ahead of themselves, decided they wanted to tear down the building in the wintertime instead of having to deal with it in the spring and summer and make all the neighbors angry. And unfortunately, they didn't consult either of us to understand what the importance of that building sitting there when you come before a board like this for an application like this. So, having said all that, I believe that there are a number of special reasons that exist in the context of that building sitting on that lot. And I'll try to be brief, but I know it's important that I get to that from the record. In this case, I think there's four purposes of zoning that actually are advanced with the application. The first is security from flood, fire, and other natural man-made disasters. We have a building, again, in the context of the structure being there, that didn't comply in many regards, and a proposed project or redeveloping the site would advance that purpose of zoning. The second purpose is providing additional air-like open space. The front yard setback, and this goes to this specific project, whether you look at the lot as big or not. Front yard setback for the decks is permitted to be as close as 7 feet from the front property line. The front yard setback for the house is permitted to be as close as 12 feet from the property line. Our project proposes setbacks on the front, which when you get on the south side, as we know, is preserving people's use and air-like open space down the street and looking for the ocean, so it's important. But our project on the front yard setback to the main house is a 33% increase in front yard setback than what is permitted in the zone. So 12 feet is permitted, we're at 16 feet. For the first floor porch, 7 feet is permitted, we're at 10 feet. That's a 42% increase in air-like open space along the front. Second floor deck, same story. We are permitted to be at 7 feet, we are at 10 feet. Another 42% increase in the front yard setback to the deck than what would be permitted. So for those reasons, we believe that purpose of zoning is advanced in providing additional air, light, and open space. And I want to keep in mind that now as we know, both lot coverage and building coverage comply with the application. So I think that's very important to show that while we are proposing a density that's not permitted at the location, we are meeting the massing of the site with regard to what is permitted to be on the ground, so it's impervious coverage and building coverage. The third purpose of zoning that's advanced, again in context of the prior building, is promoting free flow of traffic. The proposed project complies entirely with regard to off-street parking. The prior building did not comply at all. It did not have any off-street parking in its recent condition. And the last purpose of zoning that I believe is advanced with an application like this is the creation of a very desirable visual environment. It's a building that was kind of an eclectic mix of I think, additions over the years and construction and different things. It was not the most aesthetically pleasing building. This building, as proposed, will fit very well with the south side of the construction, and we believe will be a very aesthetically pleasing property upon its completion. And as I mentioned, we recognize the single-family neighborhood. The design, as you look at the front of it, it looks like a single-family building as it's designed. So we believe there are four purposes of zoning that are advanced. They are actually items B, C, I, and H, based on municipal land use law. That establishes the positive criteria. With regard to the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the public good? I would argue that by complying with the setbacks in all regards, that really preserves our neighbors and avoids us creating negative issues for our neighbors. By providing more street parking, again, that's a benefit to our neighbors. By the fact that there's not a neighbor in the room on an application like this, I think that speaks volumes. Because it doesn't look like we're going to have any positive or negative feedback with regard to the proposed project. I think that the aesthetic enhancement of the site is certainly a tremendous value to the neighboring properties. And so for those reasons, I believe there is no substantial detriment to the public good. With regard to the second prong of the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the zoning plan or zoning ordinance? Because of where we stand with regards to the number of both variances, I believe that the two variances that are still remaining, the height, which has become, I know all variances are unique to each piece of property, but those small C variance heights that create a nicer design are something that we see quite a bit, as you know.
And with regard to the porch, recognizing your concerns about that third floor porch, we're going to go into continued discussion on that. But we believe that there is no substantial detriment to the zoning ordinance as a result of the two deviations we have remaining. With regard to a substantial detriment to the zone plan, that's really kind of the crux of this application. I know I've repeated myself a number of times, but this is and has been a multifamily site for many years. And we're hopeful that you recognize that, understand that, and believe that this is an appropriate project for this location, given the unique circumstances that have surrounded this property for many, many years. And based on that, I believe I've established the positive and negative criteria, Chris, and obviously I can answer any questions, but that concludes my testimony.
Yeah, you did a great job. Thank you for that. I did have one question, and it's sort of intertwined with the positive and negative criteria. Because this property operated as a triplex since, we think, at least 1947, the stepping it down to a duplex, is the site particularly suited for that type of use, in your opinion?
Certainly, because you're in a single-family zone, the willingness of a developer to reduce the density of that site goes a long way to bring it more into conformity with the zoning.
Can I start asking questions?
No, let's see what they have to do first. Are you presenting still?
I think we're complete. I mean, if I do have Mr. Sher here in the event you have any...
It's your application. You do what you need to do.
I don't think I need to belabor the point. I think John clearly demonstrated, you know, the bases for the C and D variance requests, and I would open him up to questions of the board if there are.
What I like to do at this point is open up to the public. There's a lot waiting out there just to have at this application. So is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? The line's getting long here. Seeing no one and hearing no one requesting it, the public portion is now closed. Do you have any further comment?
I have a question.
Okay.
What are the size of the units?
I'm sorry?
The size of the units. I presume the first floor is one unit and the second and third floor is the second unit. What are the floor areas of this?
Give me 1 second on that, Roger.
I didn't see that on the plan.
Mike, you're up next.
Go ahead.
Okay, I understand correctly that the test date for that building was 1947.
I don't know what the test date is.
Somebody said.
I didn't hear it.
Did you? Was it?
Yes.
Chris just said that.
The prior resolution
existed since 1947.
I've written on it. I'm more than happy to
submit. Okay, so they had met their test date.
I'm sorry?
If they got a certificate of nonconformity, they met their test date.
They did. There's reference in here to 1947 being okay. That test date.
And they got it in 2018?
So, yeah.
Funny because I don't even remember that. But
yeah,
it's
resolution P-30-2018.
I'll leave you.
Yes, just for the record, and I can leave this. And voted yes.
So it's been there a long time.
I'm sorry? It's
been there a long time.
First floor is Unit A. Second floor.
Yeah, it was 1817 had this board.
And third floor is Unit B.
Yeah, yeah. I was here for
the first floor.
Yeah, I was here for that.
Three bedroom.
All right.
I remember you.
Three bedroom. Two baths.
Unit B is the second
and third floor.
All right.
And that would be...
Yeah, there's another thing right here. I said something about another one here that I don't think is correct. So I'm trying to...
So it was illegal.
It's actually a four-bedroom.
Process.
Yeah, number three, or number B is a four-unit. Who's the
architect?
Holchins, Mays Landing. So it's actually a three bedroom.
four bedrooms. They don't number as bedrooms. One, two, three.
Is it B units?
Yes.
Or three bedrooms?
Three. Three, two, and a four, three. Two, three.
But it's going to be condition of approval if they get metal.
Three and a half. This is a powder room. This is a bathroom.
A couple minutes and that's it. They got 3 minutes.
So what's with the third floor deck?
That's what I was saying.
Yes.
This deck here.
Yeah, I understand that, but yeah, but or do we not allow the third floor production?
1,470 square feet.
Okay, same.
Okay, all right.
Three bedroom unit.
So it's okay.
And then unit B is the second and third floor. I don't have an exact square footage of the third floor and his, my estimation is about 2,300.
Okay. Here's what we'll do, John. You know, depending on how this application goes and so on, you may have to come back with exact numbers.
We'll call the architect right now. We'll have it.
50.
Okay. We are, Mike Wiesen had a question. Mike, you're up.
This is a substantial purchase. I just can't believe that they would tear it down without giving some kind of advice to say, don't tear it down until they got it. Maybe, I know you said they wanted to do it in the winter and not disturb the neighbors in the summer, but maybe an explanation should be a better name.
It's right here. It's 2,612 square feet.
Either you or Danny.
Jay, it's on page VP2. In size.
Break the block to make it smaller.
2,600.
On unit B.
On B, right.
And unit.
I see.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a brief response to that. When the first property, got some guidance from the city that they thought they fully understood. Moved forward with hiring professional design in a two-unit building, and while they were doing that, we're here. They unfortunately didn't ask the one question, should I wait to tear it down? That's the one thing that they didn't ask. And that's where they are.
Everybody is broken.
And, you know, we would ask that, as John indicated earlier, as you said, mistakes are made. You know, please, you know, consider this application on its merits compared to what was there and based upon John's testimony and not a mistake that was obviously made.
But I know they gave way to him first. He would have been busy done.
Yes. All right. Any further questions of anyone? Roman, any questions? I have a question. Developmental pattern of the block. What is the developmental pattern of the block and how many duplexes are on the block?
So I did not see any duplexes on the block. From a developmental pattern with regard to setback and covers and things of that nature, this is very consistent. First of all, we're complying with setbacks. So many of the homes on this block are actually closer to Melbourne Avenue than what we are proposing. But some of the homes are older, so presumably as they get redeveloped or what have you, they will come more into compliance.
Right.
But no, I mean, and yeah, that's why I started this. This is a single-family neighborhood. We're not hiding from that. We're not disputing that. But we believe that the facts of this case, hopefully you agree, support itself.
Yeah. There are no multifamily houses on this block.
No, there are a number in the next block, but not right up this street.
Not in this block. Okay. Anyone else?
Is there any thought to eliminating that third floor deck? What is the purpose of?
The third floor deck comes off of the master. I mean, that's kind of every third floor deck, that's what they do. If there's a concern about the size of the third floor deck, they're certainly willing to.
Shouldn't we be dealing with the C variances once we decide if they can go forward instead of having all this discussion?
We elected to have the testimony first and then with the.
But I'm saying we're hashing it out.
With the vote, we're going to put the bifurcation first. That was what we agreed upon.
Yeah, I mean, we'll vote on the use first, and then if that passes, can we revisit? Can we revisit some of the other stuff?
Of all the stuff, which is...
But this is the deal we made going into this thing.
No, I understand that, and we've done that.
We're going to stand up by it. So that'll be it. So that's the case. Now, if there's no other further questions of the board, Roger, do you have any further add?
No.
Leo, do you have anything to add to this whole thing?
I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Members, do you have anything further to add? Well, at this point, we're ready for a vote. So,
I would request that we bifurcate the vote.
We are going to. We decided that from the beginning. That's what we decided. So, so the first vote would be on the use variance. That's what we decided. That's what was kind of decided ahead of time.
Yeah, so that.
Okay, so would you frame a motion in that regard?
Sure. So it's the motion to grant the use variance to allow a duplex on this property. Need a motion and a second for that, and a roll call vote.
Okay.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second, please. I have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Jay Cook?
I have to vote no, because I can't, under land use, go over and authenticate all of the positives and special reasons that are here. I can only find reasons that would say that I shouldn't grant it in here under that, because basically this is Saddle River in reverse. Is the stable got abandoned, and now they're going to come back and reclaim the abandoned. So my position is that it appears and that it looks like is that the use was abandoned, and once it's abandoned, we can't grant it back. That's under the definitions of land use.
Issues of abandonment.
We're voting now.
Yeah. We're voting no.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I think you can.
I think that we would also be hard pressed, once we had a dwelling that was high in density, and we reduced the density, to put the density back into the block would be completely counter to our master plan and to our zoning ordinance as well.
Roman Zabihatch?
I also vote no. I'm a firm believer that the zoning ordinance is the means to implement a master plan. And the master plan basically indicates this is a single family area, and this is an opportunity for the zoning ordinance to work the way it's supposed to function, is to implement the master plan. So in that case, I cannot justify a two family house there, a duplex. So no.
Mike Wiesen?
There was a very smart board member that one time said, if it can conform to what we want, what's on the books, that's what it should look like. and I agree with her statement years ago, and I think it should be single family.
Lauren Solana?
I'll vote no. You know, it's a single-family neighborhood. The fact that they did get a certificate of nonconformity is essentially a legal move because they met the test date. And I don't know if that gave false hope or not, but, you know, to put a multifamily building back there when it is clearly a single-family neighborhood, it would be negligent on the board's part to do something like that. So I have to vote no.
Yeah, that is for no votes. Do we need to continue?
Yeah, yes, you did complete record. Yeah.
Everyone has to vote.
Okay, Peter Tacco?
I also have to vote no for the application. For the reasons stated, it is a single-family neighborhood. The certificate legalized what was there. It's not there anymore.
Dan Smith III?
I'm also going to vote in the negative side of this. It comes down to that the certificate of nonconformity is no longer there, and there's nothing to support granting relief based on the makeup of the neighborhood. And it's a single-family zone, and it's unfortunate that that's...
Wendy Bartlett?
I would agree. I'll have to vote no. I mean, I understand the position that you're in, and you might have false hope that, based on the certificate of nonconformity, that you'd be able to move forward with this. But it is a single-family neighborhood, and as everyone else has stated, we need to pursue our master plan and conform with our zoning requirements. Single-family neighborhood.
It is not passed.
I'm sorry?
It is not passed.
I don't know why I got that.
Yeah.
I would ask that the balance of the application for the C variances be withdrawn at this point because...
Yeah, there's no... No, there's no point to vote on those.
Thank you.
That's it. All right. Is there any other new business before the board this evening? Well, he's not. But I'll wait. Thank you. Yes, Chris.
Come back.
So without the use, we'd like to ask the board to consider the C variances that we presented when in conjunction with a single family structure.
Fine. Let's do it. So what's it? You have two variances. You have the height and you have the third floor depth.
So what they're saying is if they do a single,
yeah,
they want to go to 34 feet and put a third floor deck on. And they meet everything else.
So
I'm okay if the board's comfortable. Save everyone an application.
Have testimony, right?
Well, they pretty much put on the testimony in the context of the use variance.
Already.
I would open it back up in case you want to have some dialogue with the applicant. I would,
right.
But no, if not,
well, how many bedrooms are you going to have in the single-family dwelling?
Can you talk to that?
Seven? You're going to have seven bedrooms.
Come on up.
I mean, it's going to be a redesign.
I mean, you got four parking spaces.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. So you're going to conform with the bedroom count to the four spaces?
Correct.
Okay. How many spaces do you have?
No.
Do unlimited bedrooms and four spaces.
No. But seven's,
they can do unlimited bedrooms. I talked to Roger, as just said, they can do unlimited bedrooms.
Yeah.
Unlimited bedrooms.
Eight
four spaces.
How many?
Unlimited.
Eight.
Yeah.
I think it's very good that they're proposing a single-family house. My only concern is procedurally, do they have to come back to us?
No, procedurally, we already approved this method in the vote. Before we started, we said we would would bifurcate and then go to the C variances first after that. So this has already been approved in the before this hearing started, at the beginning of the hearing. Okay. This is procedurally correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, as long as the board's comfortable envisioning what they're proposing.
Yeah, we have two variants. So for the board, we have two variances that are left. We have a height variance, which is they're asking for 34 feet. In there, required is 31. There's this another one that has to do with the
third floor deck.
And they reduce the size of the third floor deck from going across the building all the way to 7 by 22. That was the discussion there.
Yes, and that agreement would obviously remain.
Right. And right. So the question is there any discussion needed on any of those items here, or can we go right to a vote? And that is the leisure of the board. So if the board would like more testimony, we have more. We've already had it. But if you want more, we'll do more. If not, we'll go to a vote.
If there are any gains on the deck, maybe you can do a little bit on the...
Ask...
Well, see, I think that John said that the 9 feet and the 8 feet, that it could conform at some point. So maybe because it's not a duplex anymore, that could now conform.
But do you need three stories?
No, the nine and the 8 feet have nothing to do with the decks.
No, I'm not talking about the decks. I'm talking about the height.
Well, unless they're willing to change the height and they re-engineered the building, we're not going to approve it. Then this is, this plan calls for 34 feet. That's what we're working on.
Right.
So unless they come up with a new plan, we're not doing it.
So you're saying that it's going to meet the height requirement?
They're applied for 34 feet.
But the height is what, 31?
31. So that's their application. Where they can choose to modify, they can choose to do whatever they want to do, where they keep the application. But we're not, we as a board aren't making changes to their application.
Well, it seems to me that they were proposing a two-family situation.
Yes.
So they have a hell of a lot of bedrooms. So don't they need to reapply with a new set of designs?
Well, they have four parking spaces.
They can keep those bedrooms and those parking places.
Okay.
They're legal all the way.
I know. I agree with you.
Yeah, but they have four parking spaces.
They have...
But do they need the height?
As a condition of approval, they would need this resubmit, revised plans to show a single family. One kitchen.
Height is a function of the structure going up in the building. It's not a function of the number of buildings, a number of bedrooms. It's how the building is built.
Right. But does it need to be built that high if it's going to be a single family home?
Okay.
Yeah, right. Single family homes are that height.
Well, then why do we need...
Mr. Manners, could you just give us 2 minutes to discuss this procedurally?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Should we go off?
So we're off the record.
What did you just ask?
He wants a couple minute break.
Let's give him a couple minute break. We're going to go off the record and we're not going to discuss the case.
What's the story again?
Let me look it up.
Ready to go?
I think what we'd like to propose is obviously stepping down to the single family residence.
Okay.
We will eliminate the third floor deck variance altogether.
Okay.
To clarify that, they do intend to still propose a third floor deck, but it will comply. It will be within the building footprint.
Okay.
They have the space.
We have the room to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
And a total 33 feet of height. So that would be the only variance we are seeking is 33 feet.
Which is a foot lower than what we just proposed.
We're going to take the top floor and drop that to an 8 foot ceiling.
Right.
So that's what we're getting.
We'll vote on that.
Denny, from the applicant's perspective, do you agree?
Will the board vote on that?
The application, as we just set forth on the record?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Right. If we can set that for motion in a vote, we would appreciate it.
Yep. So do a motion now for a C variance, one C variance to allow 33 feet of height where 31 feet is permitted. And we'll note the conditions will be that it's obviously going to be a single family home and they'll submit revised plans showing a single family home and then any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed on the record tonight, which several of them may have given the way we've gone, so.
I'll make the motion.
Have a second?
I'll second.
Have a roll call vote and state your reasons, please.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes. The height, size, in this structure, it's about, the height is where they're talking about, it's about right for what's going on. But it's de minimis no matter what, because it's up in the top of the A, you'll never see it at all. So I have no problem with that. As for the, let's see, we have the third floor deck.
No.
No third floor deck. We're good.
Yeah, just the height.
I have nothing else to vote on. So I'm good. It's, and my reasons are, it's just de minimis. It's just, you can't see it.
Okay.
Robin Zambi Hutch.
I also vote yes. Thank you. I appreciate what you've done. You've made a lot of compromises tonight. You've eliminated variances, which is what we try to do with every applicant. The fewer variances, the better. And I really appreciate what you're going to do. You're going to build a single family house in a single family neighborhood. Thank you.
Mike Gleason.
I also thank you because it very easy to get a man to leave here without getting something out of it. And I think you're going to have a beautiful house in a single-family neighborhood, and I appreciate that you hung in there, because we, as a board, we really want to say yes to everything. You can't, but we try, and it is presented the right way, and flipping it over to a single family is the right thing to do. I vote in favor.
Lorraine Salata?
I'll vote in favor of it. Appreciate the fact that you had a plan B, because the board, to echo what Mike says, we really hate to turn things down, but, you know, sometimes our hands are tied. So I'm glad that you'll be able to do that. It'll be a gorgeous structure, something you'll be proud of, and it will fit in with the neighborhood. So thank you for doing that.
Dan Smith?
I also vote in favor of it. It will advance the master plan as proposed, and I thank the applicants for their willingness to, you know, go through with it. I think it's a prudent move, and I wish you the best.
Peter Tacco?
I'll also vote in favor of it. The variance relief is de minimis. I think either way, it's going to be a beautiful structure. At least you come away with something.
Wendy Bartlett?
I'll also vote in favor of the application. I very much appreciate the elimination of the third floor deck variance and reducing your height. That the variance is really de minimis. So thank you very much, and definitely vote in favor of it.
Okay, that's been approved. And to the sheriff, Allen, you guys are a class act. You had a blow put to you, and you came back strong, and you're there, and you acted professional. So with that, the Sheriff family is still a stock family in this island.
Thank you all very much.
Okay. I always feel like a clap with you.
By the way, your presentations were really good.
Oh, it was good enough. This is a single family.
Look how easy the single family was.
I promise that resolution was
enough. Chris.
Guys, good luck.
Board members, thank you.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Is there any other discussion? Anything before the board? If not, we're adjourned. I need a motion for adjournment.
I need
a motion and a second. Yep. Okay.
Second.
And by the way, they had a few hard decisions. We made them. That's that. And the board has. Of course, about my.